Welcome. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we're going to run down the financial news of the week. I want to talk about retiring early. We're going to have some clips. A caller of the week. We had a great discussion from someone who reached out to us via the Periscope app and called after the show. We'll hear from that. We had a great guest on the Daily Wrap edition of the Winning It Life series. On, what was that, Tuesday, we talked to John Georges, the billionaire and candidate, first for mayor of New Orleans, or governor and then mayor of New Orleans. We'll replay some of that. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, better give us a call, 504-260-0995. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with the ladies of the Doyle Nola Realty Firm. The partners of that firm are going to come in and give you a little guidance and update, and maybe even try and talk you out of real estate investing as a career. Not one of these things where, you know, we saved up some money and I want to buy the house next door and rent it out, or maybe do some Airbnb action. No, how about this will be your new job, your new career? And it's one of these issues where we have the permits for the short-term rentals coming in. And look, the rules about this are changing almost every day in, here in New Orleans, and the permits are coming in. Enforcement's about to get kicked up. Over on our Biloxi affiliate, y'all are having some of the same issues. Ocean Springs is dealing with whether or not they're going to keep these controversial short-term rental rules. That's what they're called, short-term rentals. And, dude, this is a huge issue for both our WRNO and our WBUV affiliate, New Orleans, because it's obviously a tourist hotspot and people are coming in for events, for a Super Bowl, for an All-Star game, for Mardi Gras, whatever it may be. You know, there's many situations where we come in and we have a giant event that is hosted in New Orleans, and literally more people will come here than we have hotel rooms available. So you have to allow short-term rentals. You have to – there's no other choice. Or, I'm sorry, you don't have to allow short-term rentals. It's either allow short-term rentals or return tourist and business away. So, I mean, that's sort of a Hobson's choice. That's not really a choice. So allowing short-term rentals now has boiled down to – It doesn't matter what they say in the news. It doesn't matter what they write in the paper. What it's really all about is the city council and the mayor going, how do we get our cut? We have to allow this. How do we set up a system by which the money that's come and spent on short-term rentals, a portion of it flows through us? Because, I mean, if we can't, you know, I don't want to say embezzle, but if we can't sort of lean on them like the mafia, like protection money, if we can't siphon off some of their productivity, what's the point of being a politician? Same thing they're doing in Ocean Springs, Gulfport, Biloxi. We're almost all in the same boat, past Christiane. It's a big mess, but that's what it's all about. You have to have short-term rentals. Now we're just figuring out, because this whole internet thing is new, the politicians have to figure out a way, well, how do we get our cut? I mean, my response is, who says you need a cut? But that's not going to fly either. So a lot of crazy stuff going on. But, you know, I heard so many stories this week hanging out with Gregory Ricks and some of the clients, you know, and they tell you their story, or, you know, I worked for 30 years and now I just hang out. These people in retirement, they seem awfully happy. Now, granted, I'm dealing with Gregory Ricks clients, so if you retire and you have a financial advisor, especially Gregory Ricks, you're probably going to be happier than the guy that retires with absolutely no money saved up, and he's going to be scraping by with his Social Security check and living in his kid's extra bedroom until he finally decides he's done with this world. All right, so granted, I'm talking to the half of retirees that are well off and they're financially secure, or at least have some sort of financial plan. But for those people, retirement looks awesome. You know how hard it is to listen to these people talk about, yeah, you know, we're going to go to Florida. I'm like, cool, what's going on in Florida? They're like, we're just going to go. Just want to see the beach. You know, that'd be cool. We could see the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean in one day. Just drive across the thing. I don't know. We might stop by Disneyland or something. Just that happy-go-lucky, just pull yourself up and let's go do something. It's like, well, what are you going to do after that? Well, we're going to go visit our grandkids. Where are they? Chicago. That's a great life. That's what I want to do. And it's not because, my goodness, I don't even have a real job. What about you people with real jobs? What about you? You probably have a real job. How hard is it for me to get up? Well, I have to get up ridiculously early. But I get up and I'm like, I don't want to work. When you're retired, you just wake up and it's like, cool, I don't have to work. I mean, that's probably – does that ever get old? Do you ever wake up and be like, oh, I wish I had to work? Because I hear from those people too. I'm like, you're lying. You are lying. Because it's not the work. It's not the labor. I'm not lifting anything heavy. No one's yelling at me. I mean, there's a little bit of stress involved, but that's any job you're going to have ever. The thing that gets me about still being employed that I'm most going to look forward to in retirement is that it's not voluntary what I do every day. When you're retired, whatever you do that day is usually by your choice. Now, granted, you're limited by your resources and your income and whatnot, but still, your choice. No one's making you go to a building you don't want to go to because you have to make that money to pay your bills. I don't know. It's starting to seem really sweet. I'm an inherently lazy person. Have you ever seen Office Space at the very beginning? You know, they try and run that trick on you. What would you do tomorrow? Because he says he's not happy with his job and he's depressed. So one of the tricks they do, what would you do tomorrow if you won the lottery? And whatever answer you give, that's the career choice you should pursue or the path in life you should pursue that would probably make you most likely happy because that's what you want to do if money's not an object. Well, in the movie Office Space, the guy says nothing. What would you do tomorrow if you won the lottery? Absolutely nothing. That's me. I'm that guy. I am so lazy. My mom wondered why I didn't make my bed when I was growing up. Are you kidding? I want to go my entire life without making a bed. But is that what it is? Is it because I'm lazy that retirement looks so sweet? It's because I'm such a non-workaholic. But some people were – I was trying to look up statistics, like happiness statistics in retirement. I don't know. I think I'm torturing myself. But there were some great quotes because people who are retired – tell stories about how they will wake up early, but not tell anyone they woke up early. About 10 o'clock, they'll call some of their former coworkers and tell them they just woke up, even though they woke up 3 hours ago. They're like, yeah, I just woke up. I'm going to have like a midday breakfast and then probably take a nap. Just letting you know. See you, Chuck, and then hang up. Go look on the internet for these stories. There are people who talk about how they mess with their friends now that they're retired. Things that they can do now that they're retired. And it's hilarious. And a lot of this stuff doesn't cost money. Can you imagine just torturing your friends like that? Wouldn't that be great? Call up, hey, Will, what are you doing? Oh, you got to be at court at 11? You better hurry up and get there. I'm still in my drawers. Oh, man. See, that's one of the things about retirement I would love is torturing your friends. I'm surprised my dad doesn't do that to me. My dad could call me and say, hey, what are you doing today? You going to work? Yeah. I'm not. Bye. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for rubbing it in. My mom will probably do that. She's not retired yet. She's one of these people that's, oh, I like working. It gives me something to do. Something to do? You could go play Resident Evil 5. That would give you something to do. You go play Madden. Go play with your grandkids or something. Go dig a ditch. You don't have to go to work. She's probably going to do that. She's got that kind of sense of humor. I think my dad realizes, like, I'm in the thick of it, and I've got 4 kids and a mortgage in Lakeview, and everything's falling down around me, and he doesn't want to, you know, poke the bear. My mom's going to be poking away. All the extra time you have in retirement, you're going to have to make new friends, aren't you? That was something someone else said. I had all these friends, and I retired early. Someone that retired in their 50s. What kind of magical world are you living in, retired in their 50s? They said they had to make new friends because all their loser friends are still working. I guess that makes sense, too. Are you going to have to hang out with older people or other people who retired or people who are just living off the system or trust fund babies? You do. You have to have like a whole new lifestyle. Do I have to be that guy that goes into McDonald's? Have you noticed? When was the last time you actually went into a McDonald's for breakfast? It's all old people. It's all retired people. And they're just sitting around hanging out. They look like they're having a good time. They don't look like the rest of us at McDonald's. Like, I want to shove some cheap food in my face as fast as I can. Even a trip to a fast food place seems more fun if you can retire and retire early. Oh, and here's a good quote. Someone was compiling great quotes from retirees. This one. Once you retire, you can now live by this motto. Didn't care yesterday, didn't care today, probably won't care tomorrow. So jealous. You can also try and find a fun retirement job. That's also a cool thing people talk about online. And here's the best part. What's a fun retirement job? Some of the examples I saw online. Some guy was telling his story about, I just got a job as a tour bus driver. So they got the little double-deckers. So you're in retirement. You don't even need the money, but you do want something to do, and you want it to be something fun. do the tour guide. You know, you read the books, you learn what you're supposed to say, you meet some people, it's pretty fun. And then after about 3 or 4 months, when you get sick of it, just no call, no show these fools, or give them your 2 week notice. It's up to you, because there's no negative consequences on how you ditch this job. How lucky is that? People talk about how they get to read, not just they get to read more books, but the kinds the books they read are better. Right now, I'm in the middle of Tony Robbins' Unshakeable. Actually, I have it right here on the desk, because in the 12 o'clock hour, I've outlined some quotes I'm going to share to you from that. Already retired, though, would I be reading this? Or would I be reading about probably some historic novel, Sam Houston's biography, or if I was going to go science fiction, some dinosaurs in space? I don't know. But it wouldn't be Tony Robbins. I don't know what I would be reading right now. But part of my life, part of my my pursuit of knowledge and my quest for reading, the purpose of me reading, is to make me a better person, make me a better dad, make me a better investor myself, make me a better host of a financial radio show. But retired? Yeah, I don't really have to worry about that. The most famous early retirement of the week. Angie, did you see this one? Crayola retired a crayon from the 24 box. Did you see this? Okay, so they announced early in the week, and this was a big discussion that was had. Who's going to get the chop? And then you start looking, well, it's the 24 box. Those are all some pretty essential colors. How are you going to cut out from the core, the basic of the 24 box? And then you read what's in the 24 box, and you're like, okay, maybe 5 or 6 of those could go. And then something else I learned when reading up about this, they've already retired, or they've kicked colors out before. But this will be the first time a color's been retired from the 24 box. And they made the announcement that one of them's going to retire earlier this week. They announced the color yesterday. And the color that's no longer in the 24 box. And they didn't say it's been killed off. They said it's retired. It's retired like when they retire Michael Jordan's jersey. Dandelion. Dandelion will no longer be in the 24 box. I do not know what they're going to replace it with, but bye-bye, Dandelion. It was nice knowing you. We already had a yellow anyway. Your number was coming up. But yeah, I was disappointed to know that one of the colors that got retired in the 90s was maize. I love that one, that sort of darker yellow. Corn, Spanish for corn, maize. That got retired 20 years ago. I didn't even know that. That was one of my favorite colors growing up. I know. I think that one got replaced with macaroni and cheese, which is a pretty solid color in the crayon box, too. All right, more Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks coming right up. I'm James Parker. It's iHeartRadio.
Hey, ladies, listen up. 9 out of 10 women will be the sole decision maker when it comes to finance. Much more than men. Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event Wednesday, April 19th, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. Come learn about finance, retirement, Social Security, health care, and more. Gregory Ricks and our Total Wealth Authority will be in attendance. Bring your questions. A Q&A session will be held at the end. Reserve your seat. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Everybody's mindset is to be a millionaire at retirement because of inflation and lost buying power. Remember, in 1974, a Big Mac cost 75 cents. Is that some inflation? Or what?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Stephanie from Dwell Nola Realty.
Yeah, well, real estate's a real personal thing to people. Everybody's pretty much involved in it one way or another. You know, a lot of times it's people that have investment properties that get additional income from the rentals.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
One of the things you might want to consider doing is a financial stress test on your portfolio. A financial stress test would give you where you're headed on your financial path.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Yeah, you want to reduce your tax bill? Contribute more to the 401k. Few businesses that we're working with. One of them is an attorney where they've been doing SEP contributions, but this year we're setting up a solo 401k so they can shift even more money that's pre-tax to it. And there's another business that's having big changes, and we're helping them set up a solo 401k, just husband and wife type businesses, whether it's the legal firm or this farming firm. And it just all of a sudden starts shifting liabilities. So when they're in a 30, 40, 43% tax bracket, that makes a big difference on your AGI.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Welcome. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. We do this every Saturday from 10 to 1. We do it every Monday through Friday, 7 to 8. And they're a little bit different. Look, for the daily wrap, the one we do during the weekday, you know, there's a focus on what happened today. What happened in the markets today? What did the markets do? We give you the number from the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P. We tell you price of gold, price of oil, how it all moved. We keep an eye on 10-year treasuries. We keep an eye on 30-year mortgages. So it's a much more happenstance, immediate, timely version of the show. On the weekend, though, since we have a little more time, we try and deal with topics that if we cut these out and played it for you again in a year, it would still be just as relevant. If we played it for you in 2 years, there's a good chance it would still be as relevant. We got to fix some of these numbers, though. Our next live event, Gregory Ricks Live, is a women-only event. It's coming up April 19th, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. And what you do is it's a Wednesday. When you get done with work or that afternoon, come on out to Ruth's Chris, meet Gregory Ricks, meet the crew, get a presentation, see what we're all about. And this is just sort of a financial first date to find out if you feel comfortable working with us and we feel comfortable working with you. We're not for everybody. Everybody's not for us. We would be lying. Look, that's McDonald's. McDonald's is for everybody. Everybody can eat a hamburger, right? Not everybody's good on our team, and not everybody's – we don't want everyone jumping in. It's probably most people, but there are, you know, philosophical differences that you're like, I've got to do REITs, or I've got to chase this other tail over here, or I just need more return, or all this talk about safety. I don't have time for that. I need return, or I know this other guy who's getting 10% a year. I'm going to go with him. But this event that's coming up in just about 3 weeks is focusing on women for a couple of reasons. First off, Gregory's primary motivation into being a financial advisor is the disastrous financial advice his mother got after the death of his father. So he saw the exploitation of a vulnerable woman, and it disgusted him, and he sort of, you know, has a good time righting some of the wrongs that he saw in childhood. But also, even if that didn't happen to him, we would be taking more of a focus on women than men at Gregory Ricks and Associates, because we're here to fix financial errors. We're here to fix financial situations, and women are left holding the bag in these horrible financial situations more often than men. Like, if you were going to do breast cancer, you know, 2% of breast cancer patients are men. Most of it's women, so breast cancer, a women's issue. Financial planning, financial issue, that's more of a women's issue than a men's issue anyway. Look, here's the statistic. I don't think we've ever said this on the show before, but 80% of the women living in poverty in retirement were not in poverty before their husbands died. So what is that? That is nothing other than bad planning, bad financial planning, or really just the absence of financial planning as well. And how does that make you feel, guys? How does it make you feel that you've, you know, you got this woman to say, I do, be by your side, put up with you as you got old and gray haired and ugly and fat, help you raise your kids, cleaned your house, cleaned up after you all this time, been good to you, raised your kids right, been with you. And then what are you going to do? You're going to check out. and the standard of living that you're accustomed to, and then you're going to leave her in her twilight years in poverty? That's just morally, ethically, that's just wrong. And so what messes are we usually cleaning up? These messes. We would just like to prevent them from happening in the first place. And really, there's just a few tweaks and twists you can do here and there to make sure your woman doesn't end up in this situation. And women, there's things you can do to make sure you don't end up in this situation. 39% of bankruptcy filings are women. Women live, of course, we all know that they live longer than men. But when you look at the people who are elderly, they're past retirement age, and they're under the poverty line, 75% of that population is women. The median pension benefit for men, $9,600 versus $4,800 per year for women. Now, that's statistics a little old. That statistic's almost 20 years old, but that's the most recent one I found. So what can you do now? Well, ladies, start getting some guidance. You know, I don't want to say, well, just read a book and see if you can figure it out. No, come talk to a human being. See our presentation. If you have follow-up questions, ask those follow-up questions. Let's get this started. Let's get this fixed. The sooner we figure out where the problems are, the easier they'll be able to fix. Some of them, if you wait too long, they won't be able to be fixed at all. And it just kind of disgusts us when we look around and we see most of the negative financial consequences being borne out by women. And then we look at all the financial help, the financial education that's available out there, and most of it's geared toward men. That's a big problem, too. Nearly a third of women between the ages of 40 and 69 cannot estimate how much money they can withdraw annually from their retirement accounts. And about 32% of women in their 40s and 50s estimate they will withdraw between 11 and 30% of their savings annually. That's not realistic. You can't do that. You'll be out of money in 4 years if you do 30%. So both men and women are undersaved for their retirements on average, but the women polled are worse off than men so far. The median retirement savings accumulated of $20,000 for women versus $25,000 for men. So men are about 20% ahead on savings. Worse still, despite longer life expectancies, when asked how much they were aiming for in retirement savings, women aimed lower with a median goal of $200,000 versus $400,000 for men. You're going to need more than that. Not trying to freak you out, not trying to scare you. Actually, I'm trying to give you some solutions here. The Women Winning at Life event, Gregory Ricks Live, coming up April 19th. Do we have time for cut two? All right. Nick Homa. This is from the Daily Wrap this week.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Nick Homa, yep. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Nick?
How you doing? I'm a police officer and currently going to school for nursing. In about a year, I'll have 12 years paid into my pension. And whenever I leave the police force, I'm wondering, would it be beneficial to leave that money in and collect it when I hit 55, or pull it out and put it into something else?
Is it part of the state retirement program?
Yes.
So it's lasers? Yeah, you could roll that over as an option, but I'd be interested to know. Here's one way to think about it. Are you developing sources of income, and what might it grow to if it stays in that system, and what can you turn on, say, for example, at 65? I would want to know those numbers. Then, okay, what's the options? What's the lump sum value? What can we grow it to, you know, reasonable expectation over that same period of time, or punch it into a financial tool that will create guaranteed income like the pension would be, and kind of run those numbers kind of to make a decision. It's not just straight up, hey, yeah, I wouldn't leave it at the old job. I wouldn't leave it there. I'd move it. It's what most others might tell you, but I want to look at the math and see what's going to work best for you. I would hope that leaving it produces a pretty good check down the road. Why? I'd like you to have multiple sources of income in retirement is one way to think about it.
Okay.
And if we could do that better, well, then we're going to create a source of income for you for that down the road. That's just kind of why I want to look, would want to look at it a few different ways.
Okay. Okay. And that's I was just, you know, wasn't sure if.
Yeah, so.
Guaranteed payment or, you know, take the risk and put it in something else that might.
Well, I would look. That's guaranteed payments. We would look at on the private sector. Can guaranteed payments be produced? And then you could say, okay, well, what about risk? How would that look? So you kind of want to look and compare the three scenarios. So when it's time to do that, just give us a holler.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks for the call, Nick. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Nick in Houma. See, Jared on Periscope, when Nick told his little situation there, Jared went, pull it, pull it. That was his initial reaction. And that's a maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. Little knee-jerk reaction there. But that's why we have Gregory.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Back live now. So the first quarter has ended for 2017. It is now April 1st. Looking back at the stocks, it was pretty good. NASDAQ had its best quarter since 2013, and that was Q4. S&P had its best quarter since Q4 of 2015. The Dow now is up six quarters in a row. That is the longest streak it's had since 2006. And the dollar had its second worst quarter, the USD index, second worst quarter since Q3 of 2010. Gold had its second best quarter since Q3 of 2012. Crude oil had its worst quarter and first losing quarter since the big drop happened in 2015. And actually, crude production going through the roof had its biggest quarter since Q3 2014. Know what the rig counts did this week? Oh, they went back up. This is hilarious because in the ongoing storyline of the oil wars across the planet, the master plan of OPEC and the Saudis and Iran, these people hate each other, and they were all working together in concert to what? To lower prices and destroy the United States oil industry. And then once it was dead, they were going to go pick up some of that market share and they could go reassert their dominance. And it backfired. These oil workers went out there and they figured out a way to get more out the ground and get it cheaper. And it just horrible timing there. I think they saw the technological advances, and that's what the OPEC folks were doing to try and head that off. But it's too late. All right, more Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks coming up. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. We're going to include a client story about a spin down and the horrible financial implications of the Raiders moving to Las Vegas. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
What age do I apply for Social Security?
If you love your spouse, you'll wait. Most cases where if we have reasonable assets and can make a plan, have a little bit of time to work, 66. Just like somebody else that was in, their objective is to turn it on at age 66. So we talked about how to be in, he's retiring a year earlier than expected. It's fine. We're going to fix it with income from assets, and then boom, Social Security turns on. And then a year after that, hers turns on, but we're talking about FRA, full retirement age, age 66.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Yeah, we talk about stocks and all these different choices and where we think a bottom might be. And you have to be careful with all of your decisions and seek professional licensed help in doing this.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
Big enough to deliver, small enough to care. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. You might be the one who's running
things. James Parker here, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, iHeartRadio. Our next Gregory Ricks live event, Women Only, April 19th. To reserve your seat for that, call the office, 504-832-9200. Get the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. Go to gregoryricks.com. Also, be a part of our Winning It Live VIP Lounge on the Facebook. It's they call it a secret group, but it's not a secret. I'm here telling you on the radio for, 20,000 of our closest friends here. It's a secret group in Facebook in that it cannot be viewed by the public. And not anyone's welcome to come in there. I mean, look, you come in there, that's fine. But if I find you're being a butthead, I will kick you out and block you. We have to do that. You have to accommodate these things for trolls. So instead of having the public page where people can come in, any old monster can come in and ruin our conversation, this is where the adults are going to go have real conversations about financial situations. The Winning at Life VIP group on Facebook. Go find it. Request your permission to join. I will okay it, and we can go forward from there. Before we hear another great clip from this week, a client story spin down that will break your heart from Gregory Ricks & Associates, I just caught this in the news yesterday. Apparently this happened on Thursday. These protests of pipelines, it doesn't matter what the pipeline is, where it is, these people are against it. I mean, They're sort of discrediting themselves. If you protest every single pipeline that's being built, then face it, you're not worried about the water table, or you're not worried about the environment. You're just anti-pipeline. You're anti-oil. If there's nothing wrong with this pipeline, there's nothing wrong with it going through some sacred Indian land, or there's nothing sacred about it going under a river or under a lake or whatever. No, you're just against all of them. And that's okay. Just say that you're against all of them. We'll have that discussion on whether or not pipelines are really the best way to move oil from point A to point B. But here in New Orleans, we had one, and I missed this when it happened. This happened on Thursday. I didn't see it till this morning. So a group, they say it's spearheaded by the Louisiana Bucket Brigade, but I don't know if she organized this or they were just some of the people quoted as being there. But there's the Bayou Bridge Pipeline now. See, we have one of these in our own backyard. It's not as cool and sexy as the Keystone XL pipeline, and it's not as controversial or popular as the Dakota Access Pipeline, but it's our own little version, our own little iteration here, and it's a pipeline that's going to go from southeast Texas, Nederland, to be more specific, sort of the Beaumont area. And right now it goes to Calcasieu Parish, Lake Charles and all that, and there's another 163-mile stretch that's going to end over here in St. James Parish and some of the facilities we have there. And it will help pump some of their crude toward our refinery efforts here. This will be great for Louisiana. We'll get to siphon off not just some of the oil, but some of the tax revenue that comes with it, some of the jobs that come with it, the economic activity that comes with it, the expansion of the plant. This will be good. This is money and jobs and revenue for us locally. If we don't build this pipeline, that oil's still going to be refined, and it's still going to go be burned in someone's SUV, and it's still going to create CO2 and destroy the environment. Oh my goodness. It'll just do it in Texas, where they get to keep the jobs and the money and the revenue and the taxes and all that good stuff. But this was this is always an interesting effort. I'm not a guy who joins groups. I've never been part of any protest whatsoever. but I would have quit the second it was raining. They started at the traffic circle on the UNO campus, and they walked a few blocks over to where the Department of Natural Resources is for the state of Louisiana. And it's a little bit of a mess here. They had the brass band set up. They had the protesters. They had their signs. They had a – it says, according to the report I'm reading here from NOLA.com, they had a 30-foot mock piece of pipeline, which, of course, is not a real pipeline. The puppet pipeline, if it's 30 feet long, you wouldn't be able to carry it. So it's probably made of papier-mâché. Who knows what it's made of? But these poor guys, they walked all the way to the DNR in the rain. They show up sopping, soaking wet. They go in the building. They go up the stairs, down the hallway to the DNR office. No one's there. No one was at work that day. They knocked on the door. Some poor custodian comes around the corner saying, look, they're not here today. There's only a couple people that work in this office, and they're out. And who's going to clean up all this water? Y'all need a mop? Y'all going to clean all this up? They just tracked water all over the offices of the building that houses the DNR and a couple other government offices as well. Left water everywhere. It's funny because the reporter kept going back to this guy that said, hey, anyone going to mop this floor? Anyone planning to mop when y'all are done? And they didn't. In fact, the quote when they were walking away was, water is life. Oh, man, that was hilarious. Just the irony of it, because one of the main complaints that they have here is that, you know, you build this pipeline, this is going to affect water tables. This is going to affect the environment. The companies that are part of this project, they have woeful safety records with explosion. Hang on. They have, woeful safety records with leaks, spills, and explosions as norm. That's right. Every day, stuff just blowing up and leaking. They have no financial incentive to not blow stuff up. That being said, here's the quote. The installation of over 160 miles of pipe and supporting infrastructure across 11 parishes will impact more than 600 wetland acres, across almost 700 bodies of water, including the drinking water for hundreds of thousands of Louisiana residents. Each of the three companies have woeful safety records, yada. In the letter that they're reading to no one at the DNR office. So, I mean, they even admit this in the story, that this group of people went and they tracked all this water and mud into this building. No one was there, so they read this letter, prayed over the letter, had their little demonstration for nobody. Who are they doing this for? They're doing this for the media. They were doing this for each other. A little virtue signaling there. Hope you feel better, but I encourage you, well-intentioned protesters. Look, it's hard to criticize these kids because they're taking time out of their day on a Thursday braving the rain to do what they think is making the world a better place. You know, they want to save the environment. Hey, I'm a big fan of the environment, too. I got to live here, too. I've just also noticed, though, that pipelines are literally the safest, most economic, and most environmentally friendly way to transport crude oil. I mean, you're just anti-oil. You just... I'm trying to be nice. I can do this. Deep breath, count to five, like when the kids tick me off. Go to Google. Go to Google Images and type in a map of pipelines in the United States and pull it up. I want you to see how many hundreds of thousands of miles of pipelines we have in this country right now under all of our feet every day. Go look at it. If pipelines were inherently dangerous to the water supply, we'd all be dead. It looks like a plate of spaghetti is what the map looks like. I remember showing producer Angie, that must have been like 5 years ago, when you're like, how can you not worry about pipelines? Look, they have all this evidence that it hurts the environment. I'm like, their evidence means nothing. Look at this map. What is that? That's a map of pipelines. Well, we're just talking about oil and gas pipelines. I'm like, that is just oil and gas pipelines. That's not water pipelines. It's not silly putty they're moving through there. That is oil and gas pipelines. Oh, well, if we have that many and there's not explosions and leaks and people dying and getting sick every day, then goodness gracious, I think we're going to be fine with just one more on there. But literally, if you do care about the environment, you would be in favor of the pipeline. You know what's worse than when a pipeline leaks? When a train full of oil derails and goes into the woods and explodes and then leaks. How about that? It does happen. You know, it's worse than that when there's some poor trucker carrying a big pile of crude in the truck behind him and he falls asleep and runs into class of kindergartners and it blows up. Look, just whatever scenario you want to put in your head, just statistics. Pipelines are the best way to go. But look, people are constantly fighting. This is an infrastructure project. these are the same people who say we have crumbling roads and bridges. We have crumbling infrastructure in the United States, and we need a big stimulus plan. We need new projects to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure. Well, okay, what about this pipeline? Oh, no, well, not that. It's like, well, at least this is being done with private sector money. Are you only in favor of infrastructure projects if I have to pay for it? Because that makes me like you even less. Don't laugh over in Mississippi. They're stopping your stuff, too. So don't laugh at us. We got to put up with this, and you're not far off. All right, let's do this cut number four. This is a client story that we were talking about this week on the Daily Wrap. And these are the heartbreaking stories, the people who are in a spin down. Oh, do we not have enough time? You want to do it after the break? All right, let's take this break a little early, then we'll do it after the break. And look, this is one of these things where you would be surprised. When Gregory Rick sees a spin down, the response often is, no, you don't need to be a client. You don't need to pay any fees, and you don't need to pay any commissions to me or anyone else to watch your money dwindle away. I'll put you on the best path to make it last as long as possible, but you don't need me for this. All right, so that's coming up. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How about your traditional IRA and 401k? If your earnings are in the higher tax brackets, you can benefit from contributing to a traditional IRA or 401k. This reduces your income and eliminates capital gains as a result of trading inside the account.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
The National Council on Aging is the nation's leader of helping people 60 years and older meet the challenges of aging. They partner with nonprofit organizations, government, and businesses to provide services such as utility bill assistance, wellness and nutrition options, and many other everyday tasks that get more difficult with age. For more information on the National Council on Aging, call or visit your local branch. The Jefferson Council on Aging, 6620 Riverside Drive, Suite 216, Metairie, Louisiana, 504-888-5880.
Gregory Ricks & Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our estate planning attorney, Wes Blanchard.
By placing all of your property in that trust, you don't necessarily own that, and so they don't need to come in and sign off on a review of your will. By setting up the trust, you avoid that entire process.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Gentleman came in and he said, look, I was planning to retire. I was going to get $1,054,000 lump sum to take instead of the pension. He was just really upset about it because they had taken it off the table. So now he's going to get $40,000 or so a year on the income from assets when he retires in October. And to make him feel better, I went and showed him. I said, this is a 5.6% income stream guaranteed. It's certain. This isn't depending how the market goes and whether or not you overspend the money. This is 5.6%. That's a heck of a return.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Welcome. I'm James Parker, Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, iHeartRadio. GregoryRicks.com is your home away from the show. Also, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. Download it. We're adding to it. We're adding to the website as well. We're sort of setting up like a Gregory Ricks University sort of system where you can troll through some of our previous segments and learn from it, because you know, we get asked that on the show too. Is there anywhere I can go to learn more about this stuff? And we'd say, yeah, you can go to our website and, you know, look at some of our previous segments. Well, we're going to try and sort of categorize these, come up with some sort of taxonomy so it makes them a little easier to sift through. So go check that out, GregoryRicks.com, Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Another reminder, our next Gregory Ricks Live event is for women only, Wednesday, April 19th. Reserve your seat now. Also join the Winning at Life VIP group from Facebook. On the Daily Wrap, Gregory Ricks told another sobering story about a client spend down. Cut four.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
I had a meeting that I just wanted to share because I came up with a little phrase out of it that I kind of liked. And this goes with retirement planning. And this individual come in and talk to me, and he's retired recently, has a nice package. So he has, somehow there's comp built in to where they're going to still comp him pretty good portion of his salary the next 4 years. And then he's switching over to taking income from assets and Social Security. So that'll have him at full retirement age at the time, and he wants to take income from assets. And his income wants is in the neighborhood of $150,000. Just use that as a round number out there. And so Social Security benefits would be about $42,000 a year, something.
Not bad.
Like that. And so when it comes down to it, okay, well, then you're kind of, and this is gross numbers that he was using, not net, so gross numbers. And so, okay, you're about $110,000 a year short, so that's going to come from assets. So when you're looking at assets as they stand today, let's say it's $1.3 million in a couple of different places he has assets, and he's wanting $110,000 from it.
It's not going to last very long.
It kind of smells like a spend down. But then again, he's not needing it to start it today. So there's 4 years of deferral. So let's say it gets out there to, in 5 years, it gets up to $1.6 million. Then starts taking income, and let's say there's 4% return on assets. In 15 years, he's at $957,000.
How old is he?
He's going to be 77.
Okay.
It's going the wrong way a bit fast. We've shed, once the income turns on after the fifth year, he has shed $600,000+.
Still going to run out of money.
Yeah, still going to run out of money. I ran lots of calculations, different returns, different inflation rates, and he's running out of money in his 80s. So here, and this was the first meeting for him, so I didn't get to go into our management philosophy, my three core rules, showing him how we make technical decisions, how we do selection, what are our fees. I didn't get to cover any of that. You know, what's the purpose for the money? I needed to get to know him more. That wasn't done. Why? Because this was going the wrong way, and he's shopping for firms. And I said, well, we're going to talk about the truth today, where the rubber meets the road, that this isn't going to go too well. I'm not going to sit there and tell him what he wants to hear and talk about our strategies, and yeah, this can work. We talked about the math for an hour. We're going to get together and talk again about those other things, but he needed to hear the truth here. And I don't think he'll sit down with anybody else and they will tell him that this isn't going to go well. They'll be like, oh, we can do this. And yeah, it's going to work fine. And I said, you're going to run out of money. I said, that's kind of the problem here. You're going to run out of money.
So you're not the first guy he talked to. The other people aren't willing to tell him that he's going to run out of money. They're like, yeah, just give us all your money. We'll make it last.
What
good
does it do to manage his money if this is going the wrong way for him?
Well,
and I know it is, and I just showed him mathematically, and he appreciated that. He loves spreadsheets. He's just not looked at it this way. And then at the end, so here's the question. Do I have enough money to retire? I said, yeah. but you don't have enough money to last.
Right.
I like that phrase. Yeah, you have enough money to retire, but you do not have enough money to last through retirement. We got to get you to 100 mathematically. Why? And another reason I explained to him why we needed to that is, okay, because he kept coming, I'm not going to live that long. The wife's not going to live that long. Because I told him about my age 110 rule. I said, the real reason you want it to last further is because now you've created a margin. You have excess capital. Let's say, yeah, you both lived to 95. Okay, we left money on the table. Yeah, you want to, because it may cost you more to get to that point than we can imagine right now. You need excess assets. You have enough to retire. You don't have enough to last.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
One of the big stories we talked about back live now. One of the big stories we talked about on last Saturday's weekly wrap with the Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks news desk was the announcement that the Oakland Raiders will be moving to Las Vegas, and it became finalized. I think that was that on Monday? Oh, yeah, because I remember Gregory and I were sitting at the bar that is owned by a competing broadcaster who may or may not have a cannon. We were at his restaurant at that bar, and when we saw the news, and so we were chatting about that. And this is what we do with almost every news story on Winning at Life. We run it through a financial prism. What is the financial story behind Oakland losing the Raiders and Vegas picking them up? What's the financial story though when these other teams do it? It's a big mess, Vegas. You're about to get hosed, Vegas. Don't do this. You don't want to do this. Let's look at the quick rundown here. There's three franchises that are in the process of moving or have recently moved: Oakland, St. Louis, and San Diego. St. Louis lost their Rams. They were playing in Los Angeles this year. Oakland, they're going to take off. San Diego's moving up to Los Angeles as well. So what do they have still remaining? Those three cities: Oakland, St. Louis, and San Diego. About $220 million in public debt on the stadiums that they built for these teams. Now, that's kind of sad because the Oakland Raiders, they play in the Coliseum in Oakland. That was opened 51 years ago. You're like, that thing's not paid off yet? Well, dude, it's paid off, but they had to do a bunch of renovations, $100 million or so of renovations to the old Coliseum to get the Raiders to move back from Los Angeles in 1995. They still haven't paid that off. How would you like to have a 51-year-old stadium that's not paid off? Yeah, that's disgusting, isn't it? You'll remember St. Louis had the Cardinals after the Cardinals moved to Phoenix. They wanted to lure the Rams away from Los Angeles, so what they have to do? They had to build a big, beautiful, expensive dome for the Rams to come play in. That thing's still not paid off. San Diego built that stadium not too long ago, but what, it's changed names like four times because of the corporate sponsor. It was Qualcomm Stadium at one point, I know. That thing's not even paid off. How would you like to have, if you're a taxpayer, how would you like to have money that's taken from you, funneled through the government to go to an NFL team that's not even there anymore? Or it goes to a stadium that's not housing that NFL team, which was the whole purpose for it being built. And then here's where it gets really weird. Since St. Louis is already 1 year into their relocation process, the Rams left. They're making the case that we may not have to tear down the stadium. In fact, this stadium, believe it or not, may be more profitable without a football team than it is with the Rams still in St. Louis. And we don't know if this math is going to work out because, look, the math is different the last time around that we were able to study this. But there was a Beyonce concert that happened in the fall that was in St. Louis, that was in that gigantic stadium that could not have been held at that stadium had the Rams still been there. See, the good thing about having a football franchise in your big old stadium is that you're guaranteed eight games and eight gigantic events and eight opportunities where you know you're going to make money and come out ahead. However, during that 16-game span, it gets really difficult for someone to put another event in that exact same dome. So what you're doing is you're locking that sucker off for about a third of the year. The Beyonce concert made that dome more money than the average Rams game. So they're thinking maybe we can just keep this guy around and we'll have very big events here and we won't need this stadium. But it is an absolute money loser everywhere it goes. Look, I'm against welfare, corporate welfare included. And we're just going to watch this happen, and this slow motion financial disaster is going to be continuously reported on throughout Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Mississippi listeners, you have your House leaders setting up a group to study a lottery. Mississippi is one of only, I believe it's six states. Hang on. It was in this article. I didn't know that, it's one of six states without a lottery. I didn't know 44 states have a lottery. I grew up in Texas. I remember when we got our lottery when I was a kid. That was a big deal. And it's being sold the same way it's being sold in Mississippi right now. Here's what we have. Well, we have a bunch of Texans who want to play the lottery. And what are they doing? They're driving across state lines. These guys are going to Louisiana to buy their lottery tickets. And that's money that's leaving our state and not coming back. If we had a lottery, it'd be spent here. They're also telling you that, you know, this is another great revenue source. You know, that price of oil's down. We need this. This is to go for educations. Yeah. Yeah. It's for the kids. That's the ticket. No, the money's just going to be spent like any other dollar you give to a politician. It's not going to boost your economy. That being said, I'm not even necessarily against it. It's just sort of a push. And in some ways, I like the lottery. Because what is a lottery to me? It's an idiot tax. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Dwell NOLA next. 504-260-0995. Gregory Ricks, you're listening to iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Gregory Ricks out on assignment. I misspoke. Wes Blanchard's going to be in studio for this hour. He is the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority. What are we, in high altitude? I can't catch my breath. I had to run downstairs to let him in real quick at the gate. We're a little short staff today. And Gregory's out. No other producers anywhere to be found. It's just me and Angie in this, probably in this whole building by ourselves. I didn't hear you. Your mic's off. I still didn't hear you. Your mic's still off. Yeah.
One more time.
Yeah.
On the third floor, no less.
Yeah, on the third floor. I'm not really that out of shape. I was just hoofing it. All right. Financial situations, 504-260-0995. Thank you very much for tuning in on this Saturday and spending part of your weekend with us. That goes for you too, Wes Blanchard. Well, I don't know if you can go to the big mic.
All right.
Yeah. You're fine. You don't need headphones. Hey, so did you hear when you were pulling up the chat I was having about Raiders moving to Las Vegas? Almost said Los Angeles.
I did. Yeah.
Isn't it sick that these three franchises still have $220 million of debt to the cities that they left?
That's right. Taxpayers are funding that. It is. It's sickening. You know, and that's why I think before this, 15-month window or so, you hadn't seen a move in quite some time. I mean, look, these taxpayers are funding these stadiums, hundreds of millions of dollars in public money going that way. They certainly are going to do everything they can, and you can bet their local councilmen and state senators and state congressmen are going to do everything that they can to keep that team there. But the Oakland situation had a lot of moving parts, and that's definitely the most interesting of the three relocations for sure.
I don't understand how every time this happens, it doesn't end up like the Dallas Cowboys did. Now, granted, I'm from that little area, so that's my home base as a kid. But when Dallas didn't want to pony up the money, Fort Worth said, we'll pony it up. Arlington said, we'll pony it up. Plano said, hey, we've got money too. And so there was a race between the different municipalities in the same market to build the stadium. There's not one decent municipality in that little whole little San Francisco Bay area that could spring up and build them a stadium?
I think there was a movement in the local government to have something like that come to be. The request, which I thought was a pretty reasonable one, was that, look, we're going to build a new stadium, but the Oakland Athletics, who play Major League Baseball, are going to share the stadium with you. And Mark Davis, owner of the Raiders and the NFL as well, came in and said, absolutely not. No, we're not doing that. We're better than that. We've done this too many years now. We're not sharing a stadium with anyone.
They're the last people to share, aren't they?
I do believe now that Miami's moved out, right. So basically, in essence, they said, look, you know, we're not going to fund two stadiums. We can fit you both in here, but the public doesn't have the appetite to essentially build you two stadiums here. And what happens is, and this is all relative in speaking, but Mark Davis, who owns the Raiders, is actually the poorest owner in the league. So again, he owns an NFL football team, but he doesn't have his own money, so to speak, like the guy for the Rams, Kroenke, does. So in essence, he's relying on that taxpayer money, which has made it so awkward for him to actually turn it down. But then your scenario pops up where Vegas says, hey, we'll do it. We've been clamoring for an NFL team for years, and we feel like we got some leverage here now. And they did, and they used it.
I don't know. Vegas isn't even really that big of a market, though.
I know. I was kind of shocked. I mean, look, we know there's money there, but we also know that the city itself relies heavily on tourism. It's definitely a seasonal city. It's hot. So, I mean, you know, you have those limitations.
They're getting a dome. They will be in a dome.
Of course. I mean, think, yeah, I guess you're right. You can solve that problem relatively easily. What about the construction cost? Where do you put it? You know, you got to have it close to the strip, but, you know, it's still got to be, I guess, not an eyesore. The renderings look great of the stadium, but, you know, there's a lot going on in Vegas for that to happen. Plus, the NFL has taken the stance for years that they hate gambling.
Well, look, I will go ahead and admit I have a very sick and devious double standard when it comes to these issues. Because when I see what happened in Cincinnati, when I see what happened in Miami, when I see what happened in Los Angeles and Oakland and all these places, I'm thinking, boy, what a bunch of taxpayer dupes we have in this country. People are like, yeah, I want you to raise my taxes and spend about $1 billion in public money just to keep a team here so we can watch people play football. What kind of child is that? And then if someone said, what if the Saints are going to move to San Antonio? I'd be like, well, let's not go crazy now.
Yeah,
it's just a few million bucks between friends.
That conversation definitely came up in the days following the news of that relocation. A lot of folks in New Orleans were calling into the sports radio shows worried about that very issue, saying, look, what happens? We know the dome needs some renovations in the near future here. They did some work to the concourses and stuff, but eventually we have to modernize this thing, and it's going to require either a complete teardown and rebuild.
The dome's fine.
Look, a lot of folks think that, and I don't have this opinion, but I also don't travel to many other NFL stadiums. But they say that they go to a game in the dome, and then they go somewhere else in the league, and they go, "Man, this is way different." I've been to the Detroit Stadium, and it is a work of art compared to the Superdome. It's much, much smaller, but
yeah. But you realize what these people are saying? They're going to the new stadium in Houston or in Dallas or in Detroit, and they're going, "Wow, we could be flushing so much more taxpayer money down the toilet than we are right now." We're really selling ourselves short. The amount of taxpayer money we could waste for a 3 foot or 3 story tall art installation in the north wall of the Cowboys Stadium that is not worth the $680 million tax bill the city of Arlington got. It's just, it can't be.
No, I think you're right. I think there's definitely a double standard. There was a point in time where folks were calling into the radio or they were texting in saying, oh, here's my suggestion for the renovation to the dome. And it's like, hey, we want a glass ceiling. We want to rip a quarter of that out and then put a big window in there so that it looks much more appealing to the eye. And you say, is that really what we're spending money on, guys? Or are we going in there to watch a football game after all?
Meanwhile, I can't drive in a straight line through Lakeview on any road.
Goodness, right?
Yeah. All right. Wes Blanchard, I know you didn't come in to talk about football the whole time. My estate planning buddy over here. Hey, dude, we're in a weird situation where I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, At the time, he was 88. My my wife's grandfather, for the first time, got his first will and testament drawn up at age 88. He's back in the hospital this weekend. Probably going to be fine, but that kind of made us all look around and go, see about that will, huh? Aren't you glad you did that now?
That's it, yeah. And look, I actually had a very, very busy week, and Thursday was actually jam-packed, back-to-back-to-back-to-back clients, and a few of them were mid-50s, late-50s, and they're coming in, and they're getting it done, and they say, look, you know, I think you're right about just sort of having the attention span for it. When it's on your mind, you got to get it done, because if you don't do it now, I mean, look, you don't want to keep – that's not a can you want to keep kicking down the road. That's for sure. So, no, it's interesting. I'm glad to hear that he got that done.
Yes, and now we're trying to lean on everyone else in the family. See, it almost happened to him. Now you need to get one. Mm-hmm.
Keep the momentum rolling. That's right.
Okay, so out of the clients that were rolling in here, any special situations, anything that's really out of the ordinary? Because this can't all be cookie-cutter wills you're drawing up.
Yeah, so look, a few of them are setting up trusts for their children and maybe nephews and nieces and things like that. I wouldn't say anything quirky, but definitely looking to set up some distribution scheme, you know, that requires the heir to be somewhat successful and competent and, you know, creating their own way through life and not just using this pile of money that's coming their direction in order to, you know, work a few less hours per week. So that was some of the things. I wouldn't say that there was anything shocking this week. But again, you know, sitting down and getting the conversation started, you really don't know what direction that's going to lead you in. Sometimes this is the first conversation that they've actually had. You know, sometimes a husband and wife comes in, they haven't even talked about what they would prefer to do with each other. They just kind of force themselves into this awkward situation. And here I am sort of playing mediator as well, oftentimes, and saying, hey, look, all right, guys, maybe this is what you ought to start thinking about. And sometimes it takes, you know, a week or so to think about, and they come back and have it all settled out and we can move forward. Other times, you know, they can make that determination right there in the office. But, you know, we do help them out with that.
All right. I thought of an estate planning question for you this week, and I saved it for the show.
Nice.
What happens to dogs? If a dog is not in a will, does it become part of the community property and it gets divvied up? Or
so technically, and I thought about something akin to that earlier this week. I had to bring my dog to the vet, and we have pet insurance. And so I think about that kind of thing, or I take him with me in the car all the time, and I think, look, what if someone T-bones us and, you know, my dog's standing up in the back seat and he gets hit? What happens if he's got to go through surgery and all that other stuff? And then kind of led me to the conclusion of realizing, hey, as much as some dog lovers would hate to say it, they are property.
Yes.
And so at the end of the day, they're going to be classified as such according to the law. So, look, a lot of times people who have beloved pets absolutely will draw a provision up and says, my dog, my cat, my cats normally go to such and such. They have a particular person who they know is going to take care of them, going to give them the best remaining years of their life. So that's not something that's all that unfamiliar.
But if you die intestate, how does the judge decide? Or do you have to, like, buy it out? They're like, well, this is an $800 dog, and you're going to get this other $800 of property in exchange? Could you trade off for the dog?
So I think that's a very interesting scenario, and I think it probably comes into play if you do have one of those high-priced dogs or one of those dogs who are, you know, used to breed and things like that, who can produce, you know, other puppies worth hundreds, if not thousands of dollars at times. I would imagine that it's not such an easy settling of things if you die intestate and you have a dog that's worth $1,500 because, you know, they're using him to essentially procreate puppies that are worth much more than that.
What if it's just some dusty mutt that stumbled in from mid-city?
Yeah, so again, it is going to fall as a piece of property underneath those intestate laws. But at the end of the day, you know, most of the time, somebody's going to step up.
As Wes Blanchard, the estate planning attorney, the Total Wealth Authority. If you have any financial or estate planning questions, now's a great time to call. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Listen up. 9 out of 10 women will be the sole decision maker when it comes to finance. Much more than men. Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Wednesday, April 19th, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. Come learn about finance, retirement, Social Security, health care, and more. Gregory Ricks and our Total Wealth Authority will be in attendance. Bring your questions. A Q&A session will be held at the end. Reserve your seat. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you're not at your old job, your 401k shouldn't be either. I don't want it to become forgotten money. My guidance would be is if you're going to take and roll that over and you're going to correlate it to risk, I think you should work with somebody loss adverse, meaning that they would rather get you to cash than writing down losses.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
Every time I ask it how many homeowners are in the audience, it's 100%, let's say 90% to be safe. But then when I say how many are in a retirement home, you go down to 10, 20%.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
You could be up 132% in a security, but how is it behaving for you lately? And when there's winners, there's always losers. If you have a lot of tolerance for that going the wrong way, or your gains you've built up going the wrong way, that's problematic. And what are you going to do with that next correction? How are you protecting it? Put a real narrow stop loss on it. What's going to happen if this thing takes a dip? You're keeping your money. If it continues to move up, we'll shift that stop up as it continues to move up. Keep that tight stop loss and capture more of the gains if there's more there.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Welcome. I'm James Parker on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Wes Blanchard's joining us in studio. A couple of things I need to remind you of. First off, the phone number if you want to call in with a question, 504-260-0995. Also, our next Gregory Ricks live event will be Women Only, Wednesday, August 19th, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. It's a financial first aid to find out if you want to come on board with Gregory Ricks and Associates and get the guru himself to handle your financial situation. Also, our next live event where everyone's invited, guys included, is I believe like June 1st, first week of June, somewhere around there, just to kind of get it on your mind. Wes Blanchard, you're in studio. You're going to be at our next Gregory Ricks live event Wednesday, April 19th. Women-only event, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and that Greg brings that up all the time. It always seems to foster some good Q&A and conversation, so we're really looking forward to that one.
Anything special about women in estate planning? Because we know in financial planning, especially in retirement, 80% of the women who are poor in retirement were not poor until after their husband passed away.
No, estate planning is a pretty gender neutral topic. I will say that one of the more particular things I do see with regard to women in estate planning is a desire to leave particular pieces of jewelry, for instance, to a particular person. Oftentimes, a wedding ring is a very sentimental and special
piece of property. Oh, because women have feelings.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and men just pretend. But no, I think, you know, you see that every once in a while with men who have things like guns and stuff like that. And if, for instance, I have had a couple of clients that were very attached to tools or, you know, a car that they worked on, and they feel as if those were extensions of themselves, and they really wanted to pass that on to a son or a nephew that they worked with on that kind of thing. So you do see that, but I will say it's much, much more common to see a woman leaving particular pieces of jewelry to different members of the family to ensure that that piece of her legacy continues with the family. Oftentimes you see that, hey, this is my grandmother's wedding band, we just got it reset with a different stone kind of thing. I feel like I hear that pretty often, and you sort of realize why.
Wow, what's that like, having feelings? Because when I die, I'm like, just throw my body in the woods. I'll be fine. All right, let's go to, is this right, Terrace? Am I saying that correctly? Terrace in Kentwood, you're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, talking to James Parker and Wes Blanchard. How can we help you?
Morning, guys. Let me see if I can stump the band. The situation, my wife died a couple of years ago. She was my second wife. And in my will, I leave half of my assets to my side of the family and the other half to her two sons, one of which is a ward of the state and has been on SSI most of his life. How do we go about making sure that his portion of the estate he's entitled to can be put into some type of a trust where he doesn't violate the SSI laws as to what you're allowed to own when you're on SSI?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's something that you hear is akin to setting up a special needs trust. And essentially what it does is it takes that portion of the estate that you're looking to leave to him, and it places it inside of a trust and under the control of a trustee that you would select. And what that trustee does is operate according to the terms of the trust. So the trust is, for instance, in order to give effect to what you're looking to do without violating any issues of too much income and too many assets, what it does is say, look, you know, we're actually holding this in trust for him, but the release of it, the distribution to him, is all going to be at the sole discretion of the trustee. And so by doing that, it doesn't necessarily give him a right to it, because it's only released at that trustee's discretion. So it's meant to be a supplement rather than to be a substance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And the key, once again, is we don't violate the laws regarding how much assets he's allowed to have or how much income he's allowed to have, maybe from a trust.
That's it. And so that's what you do. And if my memory serves me right, that's all based upon an annual assessment. So in other words, that's where the discretion comes in, is to say, look, the trust is set up for his benefit, but it's only going to issue it out, you know, so many times, not even on a particular schedule. The trustee can then look and get legal advice and say, hey, look, here's where we're at with regard to the amount of assets that he has. How much can I give to him, and how much can he consume within this year's time frame in order to, such that he would still qualify in the following year?
Makes sense. That's the answer to the question I was looking for. Thanks very much, guys. I'll be listening.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Terrace. Glad that we could help you out. Yeah, I mean, we already have tools specifically for that.
Yeah, and that's something that you see all the time, actually, is folks with that very concern. And it's actually not far off from what you're looking to do with Medicaid planning. That's one of the things that I think is most commonly misunderstood in estate planning, is the idea of qualifying for Medicaid and having Medicaid pay for your nursing home. Look, that's something that can be accomplished, but long story short, that is sort of an option of last resort. You really don't want to have that happen. And if you develop a scheme, so to speak, to have that work out, then that's one thing. But look, there's a lot of hoops to jump through. You wind up divorcing yourself from the property. You have to do that 5 years ahead of time.
There's five-year look back for Medicaid.
Right. And so all of those things add up to say, look, at the end of the day, wouldn't it be a little better that if you were in a situation to financially plan the ability to purchase long-term health care insurance that covers your stay in places like that without having to go through the rigmarole of making sure that you operate in that complex, complicated Medicaid framework.
Chuck Barris died this week. Do you know that name?
I don't.
It's a huge name to our parents, maybe even our grandparents here. A little before my time as well, but I was aware of who he was because I got to be on a radio show where he was interviewed about, God, almost 15 years ago. How old am I? Oh, that's right. I'm almost 40. Shoot me. Chuck Barris had a great run of celebrity in the 60s and 70s. He started the Dating Game, and then he was the guy not only that started the Gong Show, he was the host of it. And so then there was the Newlywed Game, and then there was like the Game Game. I was just reading a report over here. At one point, he was responsible for 27 hours of television programming in 1 week.
Wow.
And that was when we only had three channels. So he was the biggest thing in game shows for about 20 years. I was aware of him because in the 2000s, about 15 years ago, he wrote a book. I forgot what the name of it was, but it was this fictional story about a guy who's a game show host, and the CIA taps him to go overseas and do some spy missions for him and get some intel. And being a famous game show host was the perfect cover because no one would suspect a thing because this is the idiot from the Gong Show. And so then they went to the CIA and they're like, can you endorse or, conflict any of the information in this book? And they're like, we do not comment on undercover operations in any setting whatsoever. And so we're like, oh, my goodness. So the CIA is not going, this is garbage, like we would ever sign up Chuck Barris. So the CIA kind of built into it. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't know who this guy is. But what happens to the royalties from that book? If it's not granted, if it's mentioned in the will, my son's going to get the royalties. But what if it's not mentioned in the will?
So that's still part of his estate. If it's not particularly, I guess, given or bequested to a person, it's made up of – that makes up part of the residue of the estate.
All right. Hang on. Now I think I've confused myself. Let's imagine he didn't die intestate. He had a will that was from like the year 2000 from when before he wrote this book. So basically everything's spelled out except for this book royalty. What about that?
Sure. So at that point, you would look to see who is getting what. So – oftentimes when you have a will, you have sort of that catch-all phrase that says, hey, I might want to leave James something. I might want to leave Angie something. Everything else is going to be left to my brother, that kind of thing. So in that case, those royalties would fall into that latter category of everything else. And so things can get a little more complex if you for some reason try to spell out every last waking thing you have and then you say, okay, I've named literally everything and everybody gets one thing and then you say, okay, well, I didn't have a residue clause. How's that going to work? That can be a little more complicated. That's when you get, a fight on your hands.
That's when it gets thrown to the pot and they have to divvy it up five ways between your heirs or whatever it is.
Yep. Okay. That part of your estate's going to be deemed intestate. Interesting.
I'm writing a book about this mild-mannered radio show host who the CIA taps to go on secret missions to the West Bank for intel operations. I'm going to be picking some stuff up pretty soon. Look for that book. It'll be a good one.
Nice.
All right. I know you got some succession stories coming up. Can you give us like a 2-minute version or just get the story started? We'll pick it up after the news break.
Yeah. So I'll get the story started. It's a pretty interesting case. It actually deals with oyster leases, which I think everybody is aware of oyster harvesting, but maybe not understanding some of the rules that go or surround it. And in fact, when you delve into this case a bit, you realize that there's actually specific quote-unquote oyster law that's actually written up for the purpose of, hey, this is what you can and can't do to harvest them. This is what happens when you secure an oyster lease from the state and how you can go about passing that on. This case deals with a little bit of that and then sort of folds itself into the current events of why oyster leasing might all of a sudden be a very lucrative practice here. Or what might have spurned people to, or this particular succession to care so much about this oyster lease that was part of this decade-old dormant succession. So that's what that one's going to be about. We have another one that's going to deal with what happens with a succession when someone has a will drawn up where they leave everything to their wife, but then they subsequently divorce their wife. What happens then? And so those are two pretty interesting topics that I think we can explore over the next half hour. Looking forward to it.
I think you're going to have a happy ex-wife is one guess, but the details will be had after this news break. Any financial or estate planning questions, 504 260-0995. I'm James Parker with Wes Blanchard, the estate planning attorney. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Honestly, the companies don't want you to stay in their 401k if you left, because they have a good bit of liability with you staying there. So there may be encouragement, or some plans are adjusted to you've left the company, you have to move the plan. So if you do a rollover to an IRA, now how many choices do you have? Everything you have, you know, your Wall Street choices, equities, mutual funds, ETFs, bonds, tremendous amount of choices. Or you're going to now actually have safe money choices as well. If you want to go no risk with that money, you can do that as well.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You're looking to expand your family, aren't you? Might be a little extra hair around the house, some vet bills, a little extra noise, but it's totally worth it. Do the right thing. Don't buy. Adopt. From Baton Rouge to New Orleans to Biloxi, Kismet Pet Adoptions will help you expand your family. KismetPetAdoptions.com. K-I-S-M-E-T PetAdoptions.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How does divorce affect your Social Security payments?
With the traditional IRA, my mother died and she named my brother and I as beneficiaries.
Can I still contribute to a Roth IRA now that I'm retired?
I was just wondering if we should pay our mortgage off.
And I really enjoy y'all's program. It's very informative.
You made some money for me today.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRN. No.
Dear Mom and Dad, please send money. I'm so broke that it ain't funny. Well, I don't need much, just enough to get me through. Please don't worry, cause I'm alright. See, I'm playing here at the bar tonight. Well, this time I'm gonna make our dreams come true. Well, I love you more than anything in the world. Love.
Welcome. So Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. You know, I haven't even mentioned it. Gregory's not here today. He's out on assignment. He's an assassin for the CIA. It's like Chuck Barris was. Wes Blanchard's in studio. He is the member of the Total Wealth Authority that we lean on for all of our estate planning purposes. And coincidentally, he happens to be an estate planning attorney, so that works out nice. Tell me more about this Oyster Law. So Oyster leases, they have their own regime. And this, for me, as someone from the outside looking into the legal profession, this has always been one of the cooler parts about the legal world. How do you handle such obviously public situations as fishing and whaling and oyster harvesting and shrimping? You know, that no one owns the ocean. How do you police that, for
right,
lack of a better word? All right, so how does the oyster thing work out?
So, I'll give it to you in the context of this particular...
Wait. I should also set it up. My naive... non-legally trained brain says, you mean you don't just own like a big pool of water and you can go harvest oysters out of it willy-nilly whenever you want?
Yeah, so these things, they're oyster leases, and I don't want to step out of bounds here either, because I don't own any of them and I've never been oyster harvesting, so I really don't know a whole heck of a lot about how it works other than its application to this particular succession. But my understanding from it is that you are, in fact, granted leases. You apply for these leases. There's a different process and structure set up, whether you're oyster leasing and harvesting on state-owned waters versus federally-owned waters, and each of them have their own particular regulations. That's all my understanding. I actually did deal with a succession that was sort of that was part of the asset list, is a few oyster leases. These were in federal waters. We had to work our way through deciding how they pass on. This person died intestate, but in that instance, we had to determine whether these boats that he owned actually where the oyster leases were attached to the boats or not, or how all that works. And so we did that. It was definitely one of those things that you remember when you're in law school. You learn a lot of sort of supplemental information because you necessarily have to dive into this case and understand it from the ground up. And so those are some of the cool things that you do get to see with your job as an attorney. It's not always every day the same thing. You often have to educate yourself on aspects of business or culture that you otherwise wouldn't have had any reason to do.
Is there such thing as a private oyster farm harvest?
Is it
only state and feds?
No, I would imagine just like you can have a crawfish pond, that you could essentially have your own oyster type of pond. But my understanding is that the majority of the oysters that we eat here are in fact coming from leases from federal ground or state-owned ground.
Yeah, I bet you they don't want to give those up. All right, I'm going to hit pause on this story here. Richard and Metairie, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks, talking with James Parker and Wes Blanchard. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a question, a trust question. About 3-4 years ago, I set up a trust for my parents and put their home in the trust so my dad could get some VA benefits, which we did, and when it up, that worked out good. But it was an irrevocable trust. We put all our assets in there. And we ended up selling the house. My mom died last year, but my dad's still alive. And we ended up, he's in a nursing home, but we ended up selling his home a few weeks ago. And I'm curious, because I'm getting different opinions. The attorney that set up the trust, I'd asked him about the capital gains on the home, which will be quite a bit, because they've lived in the house for 50 years. And the 1099 at the act of sale was put in the trust. Tax ID for the trust, but actually the attorney said that because the papers of the trust were set up with some kind of power of appointment clause, that really they didn't lose their exemption, you know, the exemption for the capital gains on their home. But the attorney, my accountant, says, well, I'm not sure, because the trust actually is the beneficiary of the home sale. So I'm confused. Maybe you could give me some advice on that.
Yeah, that is a very, I wouldn't say it's a unique situation, but it's one that you probably are going to encounter differing opinions on.
All right, hey, you got to keep the novice people, keep us up here. Usually if you sell a house, there's no capital gains issues if it's a primary residence up to a certain amount. But if it goes into a trust, do you still have that protection? Is that what he's asking?
Yeah. And so what he's asking is, look, was that protection still kept in place by this power of appointment clause that was set up in there?
What's a power of appointment clause? I know power of attorney, power of appointment.
Yeah, so that one is a bit confusing even on my end. I don't want to jump to conclusions and say what that power of appointment says. I think, frankly, what I would do is necessarily defer to the CPA in this instance. He's going to have to do the research. But if the lawyer drafting the trust looks at that language and says, hey, this is particularly why I put this in there, so that you would retain that exemption if you sold the house, well, then that's probably what it's designed to do. The CPA might not see that a whole lot and says, hold on, wait, you're right. The trust is, in fact, going to be the one who's benefiting from the sale. They should be treated as this capital gains recipient and taxed accordingly. But if there's language in the trust there that allows them to retain that exemption, then that might be something that allows you to sort of sidestep that hurdle. And I would imagine that, look, if the power of appointment is drafted up such that it's designed to have that effect, then it might just be a matter of sort of educating the CPA on exactly the terms of the trust. And so I would lend myself into saying that, look, you're probably safe as far as a capital gains tax. But I really hesitate to give you a definitive answer without seeing exactly the trust document and how it's set up.
Richard, you got a follow-up? Because I do.
I just went, well, maybe if I brought the documents in to the office and had somebody look at it, you know, I'd be willing to pay somebody just to give me an opinion, because I'd want to have somebody to do my tax. I mean, obviously, it's not for this year, but it's a year from now when I'm doing the 2017 tax. I'd rather have somebody do it that's familiar and saying, yeah, if the IRS comes back and says, oh, well, you know, that you should have paid this tax on the trust, I'd have somebody who's familiar with it and said, tells the IRS, look, I've done this case before. This is in the clause in here. You know, leave this guy alone. And they might say, oh, yeah, well, this guy knows what he's talking about. We better just not worry about this anymore. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know. Maybe I could bring the documents in and have you take a look at it or what.
Yeah, I certainly would be a lot more comfortable giving you a more definitive answer on that once I had that in front of me.
Yeah, and that's part of the Total Wealth Authority charm is that we have not just the estate planning attorney and the CPA and the financial planner, you know, at our disposal. They work with each other on such a regular basis. They're on the same page. We all understand the same rules. We've seen some of the same stories. That's a big advantage here. Now, on Richard's worst case scenario, though, I think it may not be that bad because if he is, the house is subjected to the capital gains on behalf of the trust, he would only be counted from when the time the house went into possession by the trust and not from when the parents bought it 50 years ago, right?
Correct, yeah. Because of the trust being irrevocable, you're going to have that actually being an event.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
well,
how
that's
long?
That's a big difference then.
Huge,
only,
isn't it?
So only 3 years compared to 50 years of appreciation.
Exactly. And that's probably his worst case scenario. And I'm the novice speaking. Granted, is that his worst case scenario, 3 years of capital gains?
No, not necessarily. Look, the transaction... Right. Donating, I'm assuming there was a donation of the house into the trust?
Probably so. I mean, the documents, there's a bunch of pages, 20, 30 pages of documents spelling out the trust. So that's what I need to get. It's a complicated situation. I realize that way above my head on what I should do. So I'm going to bring these documents in next week. I'll call the office. That's the Rick's office over there on Vets. That's
sure, yeah, that's a great way to get in touch.
That's the way to do it. You have the number? You want me to give it to you real quick?
Yeah, I've got that, the office number. I'll just call and tell her, look, I talked to you on the phone over the weekend. I need to set up an appointment with somebody, right?
Yeah, Richard and Metairie, we look forward to it. And if you don't mind, remind them that we talked about this on the radio because what we like to do is do the follow-up and maybe in another show 2 or 3 weeks from now, we can say, hey, remember Richard from Metairie that called in with the capital gains and the irrevocable trust? This is what happened with that.
Okay.
If you're comfortable with that.
Yeah, I'll do that. Sure. No
All right.
problem.
Well, thanks for listening. Spend a little bit of your Saturday with us. Hopefully we can help you out with your financial situation. Wes, we got to take a break. When we return, I want to get to the bottom of this Oyster lease estate plan. What the heck? Succession? Did I say that right? Succession?
It turned out for that case, yeah.
All right. If you have a financial estate planning situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Look, you're out there thinking about, oh, this market, I've got to find some safe ways. Avoid the variable for that reason because it is not a risk-averse tool. But if you're considering it, I suggest you get a second opinion. And we darn sure wouldn't have had a long surrender period.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Fortunately, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. A cure is in sight.
Gregory Ricks and Associates. Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
For taxpayers that get these phone calls, it's very scary. Give us a call. We'll call them back on your behalf. And usually those calls then go away.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
If you're taking distributions from qualified money, that could be your 401k, 457, 403b, IRA, Roth, 359 and a half, there's 10% penalties. If you separate from employment from that company, and this separation happens after your 55th birthday, it's not, oh, I retired at 54, now I'm 55, I can take the money. No, the separation has to be after your 55th birthday. Then the age 55 exception means you can take money from that company plan and not have to pay that 10% early withdrawal penalty.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200. May we all know that nothing ain't cool to you when you are the same.
Welcome to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Don't forget about Winning at Life, the daily wrap. We do that sucker every Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Keep a daily update on what's happening in the financial world. Our next Gregory Ricks live event, Wednesday, April 19th. That's for women only. And be part of the Winning at Life VIP group on Facebook. It's a secret group, but obviously if I'm saying it on the radio, it's not really a secret. That's just what they call it. It means it's secret, as in it can't be seen by the outside world. There's a public group. There's a closed group where you have to have permission to be in it and post, but everyone can go in and look at what's being posted. And then there's a secret group.
Is it sort of like a by invitation only kind of thing?
It's not. No, you can ask to be invited. I think you have to be approved by one of the administrators before it happens.
Gotcha.
It's more about making people feel comfortable, because we talk about a lot of really intimate stuff. You know, when people say, yes, I make $83,000 a year, they don't like to say that in most situations, in most settings. And this is kind of one of those weird things. Like when you're at the doctor's office, even though you know it's okay, when he tells you to pull down your pants, you're like, really? It's just, oh, it doesn't feel right. So we in an effort to make people relaxed and open, and plus it keeps out trolls. We tell a lot of useful information that our competitors would love to have. We don't want to give away all our secrets, you know. If you're a mechanic, you don't want to teach everyone how to fix cars. But there's a few other things. Plus, we'd like to be able to lock people out if they misbehave. So,
give them the boot.
The internet is a weird, wild place, but if policed correctly, it can be very useful. Wes Blanchard, tell me more about this oyster story. How do the oysters work, the succession, and this story? I'm dying to hear it.
All right. So in this instance, in these oyster leases that we've been building up here are the heart of what this succession case was all about. So there's a husband and wife, and it's a blended family. There's two kids born of this marriage, but the husband had four other kids from a previous marriage. They acquire these oyster leases during the marriage, and dad writes up a will. He dies in 1975, and he leaves a certain portion of his estate to his kids, and he leaves the remainder of his estate, as we talked about, the residue, if you will, to his wife.
So that catch-all clause is called a residue?
Residue, yeah. Well, the clause itself is not necessarily called a residue, but that's what you generally term the remainder of the estate.
Okay.
To be the residue. So they opened dad's succession in 1978. Meanwhile, the wife continues while she's alive to renew these oyster leases. And she later dies in 1981. She dies without a will. So they open up her succession in 1983. These Oyster leases are continued to be renewed by the estate of the wife. So they keep the succession open so that these leases can continue to roll in. Eventually, the two successions, as they're open, they're consolidated into one sort of easy to manage case. Now you're in front of the same judge. You're working with the same parties. You know, they're kind of necessarily intertwined. So they consolidate those cases. Everything seems to be going great. Look, you got, you know, certain heirs in the dad's succession. You got certain heirs in mom's succession. We understand it was a blended family situation. So they were continuing to renew these leases. They're splitting the cost of the lease. They're splitting the, you know, the proceeds of all the subleases that they do. Everything's hunky-dory. And then, you know, the succession proceedings from 1983 until 2014, they're dormant. There's no activity despite them being open. Everything's going great. No need to ask the court to intervene for anything. But in 2014, they find themselves back in court. And I know you have a pretty good intuition. I want to ask you, what do you think was the reason that in 2014 they found themselves back in court about these Oyster leases?
BP oil spill money?
That's it. You hit the nail on the head. And so BP starts to pay out.
I feel really smart right now. Can we get like a round of applause from the studio audience or something? I can't believe I nailed
it. No,
that
was good. I knew you'd get it. So the spill happens. The payouts begin. And lo and behold, the succession of the late mother is cut a $350,000 check for damages done to these Oyster leases. And then all of a sudden, the heirs of that succession look at it and go, hey, you know what? These Oyster leases, I don't think they're community property after all. I think they were mom's separate property, and I don't necessarily have to split this check with dad's heirs.
Punks.
Right.
Okay.
So they obviously find themselves in court pretty rapidly. And so the other side, dad's successions, they disagree wholeheartedly. They get it. They bring it in front of the court. Trial court says, look, this is community property. It started as community property. Y'all wound up splitting it between dad's succession and mom's succession. It's still community property. Well, mom's heirs don't like that. So what do? They appeal to the Court of Appeals down here on Royal Street. And they take a look at it, and they say, look, they're telling the Court of Appeals, because the Oyster leases were being renewed, in essence, there's a new lease or a contract that is being issued or that comes into formation each time the lease is renewed. So while they started as community property, when they were renewed, they became separate property of the mother's estate. So,
yeah, that sounds. I don't think that's going to fly. What did the court say?
Exactly. So it's a creative argument, but the court didn't even give them credit for creativity. They just said no.
Good.
That doesn't make any sense. And this is where, you know, they folded in that bit of Oyster law, if you will. They said, look, because the leases were just being renewed, and because under the provisions that govern Oyster leases in Louisiana, the heirs were entitled to have a right of first refusal on the renewal of those leases. None of the lease terms changed, anything like that. It was just a continuation of the same property. And so there was no change in character. It retained its community status. And so they denied the appeal there, and it kept its community property. And they said, look, you got to split this going forward.
With your cousins, basically, right?
In essence, well, you got
to... Once removed.
Yeah, once removed from a separate marriage. So, you know, I can understand that, look, maybe if they weren't close, you know. And then again, Greg says it all the time, Pete, everything's fine until a pile of money's on the table. And then everybody looks at everyone and says, okay, how are we going to split this up? And all it takes is one person to say, I'm not splitting anything with anybody. And so then that's when things get pretty hairy. But, you know, what the court was clear to distinguish that, look, had these Oyster leases been not necessarily renewed but renegotiated on new terms, given more acreage, maybe there's a new price, maybe there's a new term limit for how long these leases are going to last, you might have seen a different result. But we're, you know, they're not going to speculate, but they say, look, we've reached a different conclusion in sort of oil royalty cases just like this. But in fact, the contracts and the leases were renegotiated. And so that is kind of what set off the the transformation from community to separate. But in this case, you guys are out of luck here, and you know, you got to split things up between the successions accordingly. So that was a pretty interesting case, I think, to find yourself in. And it's, again, it's an example of, look, when you have poor estate planning, that's some of the result that you can find. But
now, they don't ever have this issue in Nebraska, do they?
I'm not quite sure. No, it doesn't seem so.
Oyster harvesting not as popular in the middle of corn country?
No, I'd imagine not. And look, I know we're right up against the finishing of the segment here, so I did want to answer your question about what happens when you have the ex-wife, who was the wife when the will was drafted,
mm-hmm.
But then later becomes the ex-wife, and the will still says, hey, I leave everything to my wife. Well, luckily, Louisiana has a provision in place that says, look, if you create a will leaving everything to your wife, or even appointing your wife as a executor, and then you later divorce that person, husband included, it goes both ways, obviously, that person is deemed to have never been written into your will.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm actually dealing with a case right now that exact scenario cropped up, and we're working our way around it because there's some very exceptional circumstances whereby the ex-wife and the kids all agree that, look, this still should be going to her. She continued to care for the ex-husband, you know, continued to loan him money. She understood that his estate was going to come back to her. They got some bad legal advice along the way that, hey, the divorce didn't necessarily have an effect on the validity of the will. And in essence, she kind of is left in the wind because she loaned out all these monies and different things to him, expecting it just to come back to her whenever he passed away.
Is there a standard behavior to avoid this, where instead of putting my wife, you put their name on the document?
In that instance, that's what happened. He named his wife, but if he wanted to continue to give that provision full force and effect, he needed to draft a new will with the same provision after the divorce judgment was rendered, and everything would have been fine.
All right, there he is, Wes Blanchard. He is the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. We lean on him. He's in the same little office complex as Gregory, actually. So if something pops up, we can just run across the hall. Wes, hey, thanks for coming up here on a Saturday. I almost feel guilty about taking up some of your weekend if mine wasn't flushed every weekend, too. So.
No, I understand. I always enjoy it when I have the time.
All right. We'll see you at the next Gregory Ricks Live event Wednesday, April 19th as well. If you want to reserve your seat for that, it's women only, 6:30 p.m. Ruth's Chris in Metairie. That's a Wednesday, April 19th. Reserve your seat at GregoryRicks.com. Get the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Or you can call the office, 504-832-9200. This week's interview with John George is next. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Thank you for tuning in to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand, remember the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your host, James Parker. Gregory Ricks out on assignment today. We should be back in normal mode on Monday. Still, I'll be happy to take your call. I'll give it the old college try, 504-260-0995. Coming up in this, the final hour of the show, I'm going to go revisit one of my favorite predictions of all time on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. This is a prediction that goes back to 2011. It was something that's supposed to happen within an 18-month span. Still hasn't happened now, and it's 5.5 years later. Maybe it'll come true eventually. Also have a couple of other highlights from the Daily Wrap that we're going to play for you. And we're starting with the big interview we had this Tuesday, part of a series we're doing on local successful businessmen and kind of picking their brains. We talked to John Georges for our Biloxi affiliate. If you don't know this guy, second richest man in Louisiana, isn't that right? I think Tom Benson's the first and John Georges would be the second. But he's the story of that you don't hear very often. where some guy goes out there, you know, some immigrant comes here with $20 in his pocket and finds the love of his life, and they build a business together. And then usually after they turn into millions and millions and millions, they turn it over to the kids, and eventually it gets squandered away in two or three generations. John George has turned that paradigm on its head. He took that $20 million business and turned it into some real money, with estimated revenue last year topping $1 billion. So quite a known entity. But the John George story got a lot more interesting for me because his two attempts at jumping into the political ring, ran for governor once, ran for mayor of New Orleans here. And the things he was actually saying when he got on the podium, when he was giving his speeches, when he was talking to the press, when he was doing the debates, I thought hands down he would have been easily the best choice for mayor of this city, but it just wasn't going to catch on. You know, he doesn't have the political history. You know, he wasn't wrapped up in party politics. It's not a cool candidacy. His delivery, you know, while the content is the most powerful stuff anyone else is saying, he's just not smooth, and he doesn't tell the cool stories, and he's not kind of hip, and there's no viral videos of him doing the wobble at a Mardi Gras parade. And just a little bit more imaging, this guy may have been our next mayor, and I think he would have done a pretty good job. But it's always fantastic to be able to pick the brains of someone who went out there. And not only are they successful, this is basically a self-made success story. I don't know if I want to talk to the guy who just inherited a ton of his money. So from Tuesday's episode, this is cut three, John George's from Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, The Daily Wrap.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Talking with a known entity for our New Orleans affiliate. Do you think our listeners in Biloxi know who he is? The ones who've been paying attention to the news certainly know who he is. Former candidate for governor in Louisiana in 2007. Former candidate for mayor in 2010 might ring a bell. But most of us know him as the business mogul. And what is he? Is he the second wealthiest guy in Louisiana? John George's. John George's is on the show, and we're part of a little series we're doing here with some local successful business people you may know, and picking their brains and seeing what we can apply and use some of that knowledge toward your investment, toward your small business or medium-sized business, and generally just learning from other people who are successful. Welcome to the show, John George's.
Good morning.
Let me bring up something that kind of goes with what's going on in New Orleans. And your commissioner of the New Orleans Public Belt Railroad is, and I was reading in the paper, there is the city actually considering selling that? And have you ever thought of being a railroad man?
I was actually on the board of that railroad.
Okay.
It's a very unique situation. It's one of the few scenarios where a railroad is owned by a government. Most railroads, I would think almost all of them, are privately owned. And New Orleans had a situation over 100 years ago where there were 15 different railroads and 15 different ports, and they decided to consolidate it all under one railroad. And it's called the New Orleans Public Belt Railroad. It's been managed by the city of New Orleans through a politically appointed board that I actually served on. And if you're a business guy, you can't believe government can do a better job than private sector. So the mayor, to his credit, actually put the management out to bid about a week ago.
Okay, so they're looking for management, not necessarily to sell it. I always thought it was really strange when I first learned that the city owned a railroad, and it's not the only business that we have found surprising that the city has been in, but they also just don't want to really let these businesses go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a source of power, you know, for a politician, but I was actually the guy who thought of, came up with the idea for the mayor to actually sell the railroad, and it's because my wife's family owned a railroad up in New York, sold their business, and I thought it was a great opportunity for them to buy the railroad. The mayor took it to another level and said selling the actual rail and the land would be a little bit too much, but managing it kind of like we have private companies managing the Superdome, the arena. We have private companies running garbage, taking over services the government used to do. So it's not a bad idea. We'll just have to wait and see. And I think they got four or five bidders that were that actually bid on it. And they bid a significant amount of money. That railroad never produced a nickel for the city of New Orleans. And they're going to get almost $100 million over a 40-year period.
Wow.
And that makes me wonder, from bad management. I mean, in other words, imagine you have a city agency, they just hire and hire. And, you know, even when I was on the board, we were in a different situation than recently, but the politically appointed board that ran the railroad probably ran it millions of dollars a year more expensive. So that was bad for the users, the customers, and it was also managed inefficiently, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I have no doubt about that, especially with it not making money, which that would have been a good idea just to sell it for that reason. Hey, you got a business, doesn't make you money, but selling it does. I kind of thought that was a really good idea. It's interesting that, okay, it's going to be put out to management, but I'm kind of one that still likes your original idea of selling it. And there's a number of other things. Hey, if you put me in charge, and I don't want to be, but I'd be selling some stuff. City owes a lot of money.
There's a lot of excess, but this is not a bad idea. It's actually, I'm pretty impressed. It exceeded my expectation on what the private sector could do. But these are called short line railroads. There's approximately 500 of them in America, and there's only six what you call class one railroads, and those are the railroads that run long runs across the country, either east or west or north and south.
Interesting.
All right, so it's one of them.
He does.
As someone who's pretty high up the business food chain, what policies of this new presidential administration have you pretty optimistic about business from a business standpoint? And what policies concern you? Because I know some of these trade tariffs would affect you fairly directly.
I'm like most Americans. You know, we're basically unhappy and on every front. And there's a reason where that Donald Trump was elected, and because people are unhappy. And you just go down the line, and, you know, we appear weak. We have countries taking advantage of us on every front. I have ties to Greece, so I care a lot about my ancestors, and that's a country that, it's on the border there, the Middle East, and it's very vital strategically for America. So I think national defense, trade, nobody's really taken up for the American people's interests. And I'm encouraged to see the CEOs that Trump has assembled. You know, that group of CEOs that met with the president also were meeting with the previous president. And they put together recommendations, and none of which were ever accepted or implemented. So I think there's five suggestions that group has. I don't know what they are, but I believe, and I know firsthand from one of the people that this particular president said, do all five. I think the media has been unfair. I think people that expected Hillary to win have really created a ruckus. But I think the president's doing a better job than the American people are hearing.
Yeah, and I probably, on my side, I agree with you, but I also think they probably need to give a little bit more patience on things, just to expect so much so quick. And I think he's very fast in what he's already done, moving at the speed of light as a president.
He's definitely behaving in a way that's the media, the mainstream establishment is not used to. I believe there's a method to his madness. But, I may be wrong. I don't think there's anything to this Russian stuff. I don't believe any of that stuff. I think it's grossly exaggerated and political. It's just political garbage.
John, what do you think the economy's going to do in the next few years, and how are you preparing for it in your businesses and investments?
Well, you have the local economy and you have the national economy. Locally, depends on where you live. I live in New Orleans. I'm very concerned about the economy, crime, infrastructure. I think there's become a real gap between people in political offices and people that are paying the taxes, using the services, and running businesses and creating jobs. They've lost complete connectivity with everyone. You know, when's the last time you talked to someone in public office? Do they listen to you, or are they too busy telling you what you should think?
Yeah, I hear you on that.
Well, you got some strong political opinions, and you've dabbled before. Any chance you'll throw your hat back into the political arena?
My family hopes that I don't. I'm really focused on my businesses now. You know, I don't know if you realize, I recently bought the state's largest newspaper. And
Advocate, been almost 2 years or something, hasn't it? How's that going? You know, people say that
we continually grow. We continually defy all logic and, you know, conventional wisdom. We're growing at the expense of our competition. So, maybe we'll have the same trends they are. But newspapers have been monopolies for so many years. And when you have a monopoly, it's not like being competitive. And I'm used to competitive businesses. And so we've enjoyed taking a Baton Rouge-based paper and making it really a South Louisiana newspaper. We have a lot of readers in Mississippi, and we have online readers in Texas and Houston, Texas, that care about Louisiana, LSU, and government.
All right. Just parting advice?
Well, one thing about the Advocate, we kind of joke about it. It's the only daily we get, and it's tossed in front of my house every morning. So I appreciate what you've done
on
that.
Where do you live?
In Lakeview in New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah.
And the thing about, we kind of joke about it, and James will say, well, what, they're printing the web for you every day? I said, yeah, actually, every page, and I love it. It's a unique service that you can get delivered to you every day. So
yeah, we pretend like it's not anachronistic, like it's a new service where they print the entire Advocate website for you and deliver it to you. But you got any parting advice for budding businessmen and investors that you would like to share? You know, people look up to successful guys. How can they get to where you're at?
Yeah, I mean, I say follow your dream, follow your heart, work hard, be the best at what you do, be true to yourself, be true to your employees, make a lot of sacrifices in life. I think people today aren't willing to sacrifice anymore. And, when you look at the generation that preceded us, whether they're immigrant generation or the great generation, they made a lot of sacrifices. And so, you know, if you provide a good or service, you need to work hard, you know, and just, you know, provide a value.
And, well, you're doing a great job. Thank you for saving the paper around here. And I, for one, hope you get back in the political arena. Sorry if your family doesn't like it. But there's just not a whole lot of good options left around here, John. It's slim pickings.
I think I probably did things, you know, before my time. I think I was a businessman that stood up. I actually enjoy running. I enjoy speaking my mind. I won New Orleans in the race for governor. I'm from New Orleans. I wasn't widely known, but it was a great experience. And the truth is, I think a lot of policy came out of it. I think politicians are not innovators. They're copycats. They take ideas from other people that they don't really understand. And I encourage business people, teachers, doctors, I don't really encourage lawyers, but everybody else, I encourage you to go run for office. It doesn't matter what office you run for. And the truth is, you don't have to win. You probably accomplish more by running than you do by serving. And that's definitely been my experience.
Thank you, John.
John Georges, local celebrity, business mogul, media advocate, maybe a politician eventually.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey, ladies, listen up. 9 out of 10 women will be the sole decision maker when it comes to finance, much more than men. Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Wednesday, April 19th, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. Come learn about finance, retirement, Social Security, health care, and more. Gregory Ricks and our Total Wealth Authority will be in attendance. Bring your questions. A Q&A session will be held at the end. Reserve your seat. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hi, James. Hi, Mr. Ricks. I love your show every day. I have a question on IRA.
Hi, I want to state first, I'm a big fan of your show. There's a ton of knowledge you guys give out, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I listen to you guys as often as I can, and thank you very much for your advice, Gregory, okay. And I'll be calling your office. Thank you so much.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5, WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Stephanie from Dwell Nola Realty.
The title companies, at least the ones that Tracy and I work really closely with, and the lenders that we work closely with, they know their stuff. And that makes our lives a whole lot easier.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
And I can give you those red flags if I see something going wrong or something that you're not aware of that others that kind of dabble in this business don't really know all facets and details.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I'll read the question. If you have a revocable living trust that is set up to give distributions to your children over a 15-year period, should your IRAs and life insurance be included in the trust? The answer is yes. The life insurance can be included in that trust because it's a tax-free benefit. Your IRA can, but you were going to make the trust the beneficiary of the IRA, which is a fully taxable event. And we have a IRA inheritance trust to make sure those distributions go to the children without creating a lump sum taxable event.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
For your wallet's ears, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Next live event, Gregory Ricks Live, Women Only, Wednesday, April 19th, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. Come on out for your financial first date. Meet the crew. Find out if we're right for you. Look, when people say, look, I want Greg to handle my money, how do we get involved? Come to an event that starts off like that. I mean, you call the office, but events the way most people. It's like when you go into the shallow water first before you get in the deep water. That's what that's all about. Also, be a part of our Winning at Life VIP group on Facebook. We're going to be a little more open and sharing with some of our information because we have a closed-off group now. And maybe you just want to get some of your questions answered like that. Come join us over there. That's what all the cool kids are doing these days. So we had an interesting real estate flip that happened $750,000 in clean profit was made off of Donald Trump's childhood home. This is a crazy story because this home hasn't really been in the news. It was built in 1940 by Donald Trump's dad, Fred C. Trump. And it just so happened that Donald Trump, when he was born, this was the house they brought him home in. This is Donald Trump's birth home. This is his childhood home. So it's hanging out in Queens. And the people that owned it, they were aware of its past, but it had changed hands a few times since it was a Trump-owned piece of property. And last summer, the guy's like, wow, it looks like Trump's going to be the nominee. I think I'll put this thing up for sale. And he wasn't getting the price he wanted. So he says, you know what? I think I'm going to put this up for auction. And the auction was supposed to happen the day after one of the presidential debates. And the guy withdrew the auction. He says, you know what? It looks like this guy might be president. Maybe we should hold off on this auction because I can get a lot more money for it. Well, then things weren't looking so good. And the day of the election, literally the day of the election, it looked like Donald Trump was going to lose. But some guy decided he's going to roll the dice. Called the owner of the house. His name's Michael Davis, by the way. Real estate investor Michael Davis called the owner of the old Trump house. And he says, I want to buy the thing right now. And he goes, well, you know, kind of in the middle of something right now. I mean, we have to do the appraisal. When do you want to come see it? He goes, no. I don't need an appraisal. I don't need an inspection. I don't need to come see it. He never saw the house, never toured it, never even drove by it. But he did commit $1.39 million to this house. Bought it sight unseen the day of the election. Boy, I bet he was watching those returns like no other. Because if Donald Trump doesn't become president, he's going to have to turn around and sell this thing for a big loss. However, the guy was probably just popping champagne bottles left and right by the time the vote was counted. And so, you know, the next day when he wakes up, he's like, man, I've got myself a little gold mine here. Now, he didn't immediately sell it because technically he didn't even own it. The transaction wasn't even officially closed until December. But here it is, what, 6 months later? He turns around and sold the whole thing, got a $750,000 profit. He didn't put one penny in it. I know the temptation had to be there and say, well, we need some granite countertops or hey, maybe we could fresh coat of paint. He put nothing into it. Nothing. $750,000. The people that bought it, we technically don't know who bought it, the person, but it is being held by Trump Birth House LLC. The lawyer who oversaw the transaction on behalf of his client is an attorney who specializes in helping Chinese investors buy real estate. So I guess the thought process is this must be some Chinese developer. And I don't know, maybe they're going to turn it into a museum or the Trump Birth House. Or maybe they're just going to hold on to it and sell it at a later date and get themselves a tiny little sum. So that's a nice little quick turnaround, though. And technically, that house got sold twice in 60 days. $750,000. That is a gamble, though. We would not tell you to do that with your money. Go buy some presidential candidate's birth house. We cross your fingers. Hope he wins. SpaceX, something we've been watching on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, pulled off a monumental feat. This isn't up there with Neil Armstrong going to the moon, but it's in the same arena. It's the same sport. SpaceX did their first reused rocket mission. Now, they've been developing this for 15 years, and I think, was it last year or year before when they actually got the rocket to go up and then land on its own? That was last year. And then they got the rocket to go up and land on its own the second time. So that was the first time a rocket got reused and landed safely. Just like Marvin the Martian's rocket used to land straight up. That's what these rockets are doing. And I don't know how much you've even managed to attempt to understand rocket science, but obviously some heady stuff. I cannot fathom the amount of precision it takes to land a rocket straight up and down like that. It's just amazing. I'm surprised they didn't blow up 10,000 rockets trying that. Well, this week, for the first time in actual practice, it completed its second reused mission. It took up a satellite of some sort a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, And then this week it took up another little commercial satellite, dropped it off. Here's the cool thing. You know where it lands? When they're testing it, it lands out in the West Texas desert, just straight up and down. But this thing has to shoot off from Cape Canaveral over there, Cape Kennedy, whatever they call it these days, in Florida. And it's funny. If it's NASA and it's taxpayer dollars, let's just let the thing fall into the ocean. We'll build another one. We don't need to salvage this thing. Of course, we don't want to reuse ours. But you know where it lands? Because it's over the middle of the Atlantic. Where is it going to land? Bermuda? They have a boat out there that is a landing pad, but no one's on it. It's a drone boat. So this rocket goes up there, and this robot boat goes out there, and it lands on this robot boat's back, and the little robot boat turns around, and he brings the SpaceX rocket back to the coast of Florida. So you have all this super high-tech space-age stuff going on, and where does it come back to? Florida. The trailer meth capital of the world. Nah, I'm just kidding, Florida. You didn't do anything to deserve that. I'm sorry. Just keeping track of it there. Hey, we have another highlight coming up from this week's Daily Wrap episodes. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Report with Gregory Ricks.
Most of what I hear when families come in and they're moving from one of the big banks that has a big brokerage firm, and what they feel is they're more like a number there and that they're not getting that personal service or that communication. And that's one of the things that's really important to me is that we provide that communication, we provide that service. But I'll tell you what, we're bigger than the average firm as that goes. And when you talk about who you're working with, the advisor, well, do they have a 12-person support staff? Do they have advisors working for them as well to make sure all of this happens?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at wearestrongerthanms.org.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
We've got a map of callers, where they call from around the country, and it's really surprising how the audience and this show has grown. Thank you to all of you that are listening through the radio in your car or at home or on the stream through the iHeartRadio app.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. The vice president in Columbus, Ohio today on the agenda.
Jobs and the economy. He may even discuss the opioid epidemic. Ohio, you know, is one of the centers of the crisis, so much so that many employees are having a hard time hiring people because they can't even pass a drug test.
Fox's Kirsten Fisher. Bail set at $200,000 for one of the men accused in the Atlanta fire, which collapsed I-85, or part of it.
Georgia's deputy insurance and safety fire commissioner told Fox 5 how they were able to track down the three individuals.
We heard reports that they were in the area, and we were able to track two of them down, and that led us to a third.
Still, police say they don't know how or why the three started the fire.
Natalie Fox of affiliate WAGA, and at least 112 people are dead in flooding in Columbia. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go round. Talking about your troubles, it's a crying sin. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money, you got no home.
Welcome. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Gregory out on assignment. We'll be back to normal on Monday for the Daily Wrap. The next Gregory Ricks Live, women only, Wednesday, April 19th, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. Come be a part of our Winning It Live VIP group on Facebook, where we have exclusive conversations and other little special goodies we have planned for you there. Real quick, before we get to Trevor in Florida, Trevor in Florida's story is unique, mostly because of how he found us. Trevor was a guy who found us on Periscope. Are you familiar with the Periscope app? I mean, I'm not sure if Periscope is going to be the future, but something like it. It's the same way I feel about Bitcoin. I'm not sure if in the future the dollar is going to be replaced by Bitcoin or it's going to be in the mix and part of the strategy of how currencies are dealt with in the future. You know, maybe the dollar still exists, but this exists too, and they serve their own purposes. I'm not sure if it's going to be that specific one, but I know virtual currencies are going to be playing a bigger part in our financial worlds in the future. Same way I feel about these streaming apps. I'm not sure if it's going to be Periscope, but one of the, whether it's Facebook Live or Periscope, or now Twitter's got a new offshoot of its own offshoot because Periscope's owned by Twitter. Now they have Twitter Live, which is supposed to be different. It's supposed to be more like for TV channels and sporting events. I've also experimented with Busker. There's Live Me. I don't know which one's going to win, but whichever one wins, it's going to be a big part of it. Trevor's apparently been watching us from Florida via Periscope for quite a while now, and he finally had a financial situation and called in. So this is a unique one. Florida, from the Fort Lauderdale area in kind of the greater Miami metroplex. Now, he didn't even call in during the Daily Wrap. He didn't want to be on the radio. He's kind of shy. He called us after the show. So this was something that wasn't heard. It can't be heard, you know, live on Saturdays. It couldn't be heard live during the Daily Wrap. It wasn't even on the podcast or the stream versions of the show either. This was on Periscope only. These were the only people who saw it, but it was such a good call. I had to go back to the Periscope, roll the audio out of this, and edit it down and play it for you here. But man, we're just finding whatever way you want to get your financial situation to us, we'll try and get you an answer. And this was a new one for us, Trevor from Florida.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
All right, welcome to Winning at Life, the post show show. What's your name? Where are you from?
Yes, this is Trevor Rayborn from Coconut Creek. Near Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah, awesome. Trevor in Florida, huh?
Yes.
Is there really coconuts in your creek?
You know, if I throw some coconuts into the waters here in the intercoastal, then it's Coconut Creek.
There you go. Well, how can we help you, Trevor?
Yes, just a quick question. And we do have a financial advisor, but it's great to get another opinion. And that is, my wife and I, we've tried to save up money. We're young millennials, 30 and under. We put away about $65,000 in regular savings, but we also have about $36,000 in retirement. The first $30,000 is in 401k, and the rest is IRA. But are we not I don't know if the ratio of savings, like we've put away a lot in retirement, but we want to purchase a house. So I don't know if there's a great ratio between house investment and retirement.
House investment is not retirement money. You need, that's kind of like emergency money account plus the house money being saved up. I really wouldn't consider using risk. If you do, you need to be conservative with that money. It's more about what you're putting in because you're wanting to get there quickly. So it's not about the return. It's about putting money away.
Right.
Retirement money's about time, compounding interest, and it's about putting money in, but if it can work 20, 30, 40 years, you have the magic of compounding there. So you kind of have emergency money, and then you have this house account you're needing to save for, and then you have retirement money. And if you have IRA money and such, and you're trying to use that for buying the house, that's going to get really expensive because of taxes and penalties.
Right. And so my question is, should we, you know, when we have about $65,000 in a money market, you know, SunTrust bank account, and then we have $36,000 in a 401k plus another $10,000 Roth IRA, we don't want to touch those two retirement accounts. Should we begin to reduce our retirement funding in order to place money in, like, our money market account for purchasing a house? Is it worth it to reduce what we want to put into our 401k in IRA? Because I feel like we're a little bit too even-handed, 50% house and then 50% retirement.
How much of the 65 is emergency money?
The first probably 30,000 is
okay. So you have 35,000. How much are you planning to spend on this house?
Well, if we bought a house down here in South Florida, most houses here are about 200,000 or 300,000 and up. But if you go up to North Carolina, where my wife's parents live, we want to start a church, and it could be that we want to move up there. The houses up there about 150,000 to 250,000. They're significantly less.
He's in a suburb of Fort Lauderdale. That's horribly expensive.
Yes. I mean,
and that's why I asked the price range. Are you expecting to put down 10%, 20%? What's your expectation? Have you talked to mortgage people?
We haven't. We went through a Dave Ramsey class where, well, he says to buy everything in full cash, but you know, we would like to say we can put down 20%. I guess that is the standard.
Yeah, and that's probably why you might want to talk to somebody like our guy, Dwayne Stein, here. But you you're talking a big range from Fort Lauderdale to North Carolina, so it depends on where you buy. You could be in good shape with your $35,000 right now, or you could be a little bit short. And if you're needing to catch up and shift some more money. So, yeah, you could stop the 401ks for a little while to get that down payment. You know, when you say, well, I'm going to buy a $200,000 house. Okay, you're putting 20% down. That's $40,000, and you've got $35,000. You're close. If you tell me it's $150,000, you got more than enough. If you're buying a $350,000 house, you're short. You're needing all of your savings then. But what if you don't have to put the 20% down? Is there, you know, little wiggle room there? Depending on who you're working with, you might get some help there.
Well, we are, you know, we would be first-time home buyers. I know they offer a different percentage rate, but I just feel like when they offer these low 3 to 5% rates, I don't know if I can trust that that's a reality or if that's just a...
Well, some of it could be buying the points, buying down the rate, so that some of your cash could end up getting used to buying down the interest rate. 30-year mortgage at 4.14 at the close today.
Is that the standard 4.14?
That's the market number, is 4.14. Your rate at the end, depending on fees and such and buy downs, could be a little bit different than that.
Okay. Look, I appreciate that. That's new information even for me.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks for listening.
Of course.
All the way in Florida.
Every week. Yes. All right.
Every week? So you're not a first-timer here? You've been listening for a while?
Well, you know, I follow you guys on Periscope, and I've seen you guys on and off. And so I do just kind of chime in and see what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. Super cool. We're on the stream with iHeartRadio and podcasts. So thanks again for listening and the call.
Yeah, and good luck with the church thing, bud.
Hey, thank you. All right.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Back live now. James Parker here. Hey, something we have to revisit every once in a while on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Just as a demonstration, I hate to pick on this guy, but this is the one we started with, and so we're going to ride this pony until it dies. How bad the advice that you get from media outlets can be, how bad the predictions are, and these guys that are experts and they're touted up there and they're wearing their ties, and you think that whatever they're saying, well, it's just accepted as gospel. It's on CNBC. It must be true. Jim Cramer, host of Mad Money, made a horrible prediction. This is going to be cut six, producer Angie. This was from November 4th, 2011. See if it's come true yet.
I want to own gold here. I think gold's going to $2,500 by this time next year.
Wow.
Yeah, I really think it will. 18 months from now, I think you go to $2,500. I think that gold's been up for 10 straight years. It's going to be the 11th finish this year. It's up very big.
Yeah, so gold, this time next year, it'll be $2,500. Really? All right, 18 months. Like, he thinks it's going to happen within a year, but just to be super sure, he'll extend that timeline horizon out to 18 months. Let's see, what's it been? 5.5 years here? And what's gold closed yesterday? $1,251.20. So you're only off by about, I don't know, half. Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is iHeartRadio. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
First rule is avoid losing money. Rule number two is have your money making money when it should. Third is the return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So what are your exits? How do you get it out?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, Raj. Happy birthday. How are you doing? Still feeling on top of your game?
No complaints.
Great. You've hit the big 5-0 now. Have you thought about talking with your doctor about some screening tests you need?
Screening for what?
High blood pressure, high cholesterol, colorectal cancer.
Jeez, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Hey, you have to know what's going on to stay on top of your game.
Visit ahrq.gov/consumer for a free checklist of screening tests for men 50 and older. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our estate planning attorney, Wes Blanchard.
You know, once you pass away, it's not something that you can get a mulligan on. It has to be done ahead of time, and the results of it not being done ahead of time can be very, very drastic.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Well, I have 529 accounts for my two grandchildren, and I've heard that they can negatively impact financial aid applications.
That is accurate. They're going to look for you to spend that money first before they kick in money. That's why I kind of frown upon using 529s, because there's some tax advantages to saving through that. What the problem is, it's going to show up on a financial aid application. So they're going to take that in consideration, where if you're looking to help those children, just simply put up money in a savings account for them. The other way to handle that is to put money into a Roth. There's no early withdrawal penalty for purpose of paying tuition.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Kept them warm.
Welcome. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Gregory Ricks out on assignment. Stay put for our New Orleans affiliate, Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein, is coming up next for our Biloxi affiliate. You're going to be hearing some guy, what's his name? Something Limbaugh. Rush, that's his name. He's pretty good at this whole radio thing. I've heard of him. Hey, quick update. Some a scam alert is out there. We've seen increased reports of people being duped by bank account scams. And what happens different in this scam that's duping people is not only are they spoofing the number of your bank, they're actually spoofing the caller ID. So then when it pops up, even if you don't know the name, the number of your bank, forget that. It pops up the name of your bank on it. So however they're getting your phone number plus what bank you happen to use, could happen any variety of ways. That's where this latest scam starts. And what happens is they don't really have a whole lot of information on you. They know your phone number and they know your bank. They find out the rest, though, by asking, and people willingly give it up. Once you think you're talking to a representative from a bank, if they ask you your social security number for security purposes, a lot of people hand that over. And boy, once you hand that over, you're handing over your life. So just be aware that just because it has your bank's phone number or even the identity of your bank in the caller ID or any bank, that it really is that bank, still could be a scam. How do you get around it? Don't give out your social security number. And almost as dangerous in the financial world is whatever your PIN number is. That's one of the harder things for them to find. It's easier for them to get your credit card number and the expiration date than it is to get the PIN number or that little security code on the back. So just be aware of that. Coming up in just a second, I'm going to go through a rundown of some recent bankruptcy filings because this is kind of the Ain't There No More segment where we're going to take a look and say goodbye to some of the chains, the retail chains that we've known our entire lives that are going away. But I want to do one more call. This is from Luke in Metairie. Now, this actually happened a while back, but it hasn't been relative until lately. We've had Luke was asking, how do I make money when the interest rates go up, when the Fed starts raising the rates? Well, if you asked that question a year and a half ago, it doesn't do you any good to get the answer because the rates aren't getting raised till now. We had one in December. We just had another one pop for March. And that makes this little piece of wisdom a little more relevant than it previously was. Luke and Metairie, cut five. Hey, Luke and Metairie, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Hit me.
Hey, guys, I was curious, what do you think's a good investment to look at if I think interest rates are going to go up? Like, let's say I think in September interest rates are going to go up. What would be a way or strategy to invest to make money off of that?
Not bonds.
Not bonds?
No, bonds go down. When that happens.
Yeah, that's right. I heard interest rates go up, bond yields go down, and looking at history, I expect the Dow Jones kind of bottoms out, so that leaves me wondering, what do I get? Like, do I go buy Bitcoin? Do I buy silver? You know, what do I look at? Hard assets? Like, I don't know where to look.
Did you just turn on the radio? Because you just made two bad ideas there. Bitcoin
well,
and silver.
What do you mean?
Bitcoin
yeah,
and silver. No, we already had the two guys call in and talk about their Bitcoin and silver investments, and we kind of poo-pooed on it for now.
But you got to look at how long you want to hold it. I mean, maybe the past couple of years it's down, but if you hold it 10 more years, you never know if it has more stability than the dollar or the Dow, you know? I mean,
yeah, or you could buy something that makes you money this year and not wait 10 years for a return. But
yeah, that's
hey,
true
listen.
Too.
Yeah, I don't know why you're talking to me. Let's ask Gregory. He's the
supercomputer
over there.
You've seen silver move down.
That? I missed that part.
On silver, you've seen it move down August during the correction. Actually, it moved down in price.
Mm-hmm.
Then in October, let's just kind of go this. We kind of saw a low of silver. I'm going to give you a price here on the SLV iShares Silver Trust ETF. That is an exchange traded fund.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw a price there of $13.80 on the close of that day. With
right,
that said, 13. The close on Friday, yesterday, was $14.08. We also saw mid-October, not necessarily mid-October, but October 14th, so I guess that pretty much is mid, a price of $15.42. So that was a high when we kind of look at its wave moving upward, talking about a higher high from a lower low that I gave you on the earlier quote,
And now we've seen it move back down to 1408. So what I'm trying to get to is it didn't necessarily, when we were looking at a correction, then the Fed meeting, they didn't raise interest rates. And then in October, it's moving up, and now it's moving back down. So I can't say silver is something that would be interest sensitive in that way.
What would you look at? Like let's say I have the assumption that interest rates will go up, and we're not Japan, that we have to let them go up. And let's say I even have a date I think it's going to happen. What would I want to look at? What investment would give me return?
Well, somebody, I hear a listener out there said, well, what about gold? Well, I'm looking at the gold chart, and it's acting really the same, nearly the same way as silver when I look at the chart. Here's my thoughts, and this is evaluating based on the correction. And if you're wanting to go in, I would go look at some charts of what you might have an interest in. See, we didn't have a correction since August of 2011, so we have no data on how securities were going to behave at a sharp, quick market move. Now we have that from August. And following that, which was a pretty sure expectation of interest rates going up, and it didn't happen.
So now we think it's going to go up,
and with the jobs numbers and volatility is kind of reduced a little bit. So whatever, unless Janet and them want to come up with another reason why we can't, and that's maybe there's new craters developing on the moon or something, and we want stability exactly. there, then we could watch that, the data, and next year maybe raise them. So that's just, you know, I'm kind of being exaggerating there, obviously, to make a point, but they could change the rules when they want to use, if they're kind of saying, no, we don't want to raise them. With that, I do expect them to raise it in December. So when she spoke the other day, that's pretty much where we're headed. I'll summarize for her. You saw stocks react temporarily to it. So what do I think? I think we have stuff moved down. So what you want to look at is maybe positions that are going to drop, then recover quickly. So you want to research where are your opportunities going to be to buy some discounts and profit from that. And that might be stuff that you don't necessarily want to buy at that low and then sell off of a high. You can do that. A lot of people do. But I would look at longer, something that's going to keep moving up, like a Nike or something that will give me a dip,
Stocks, you would still do the mess with the Dow Jones, even if you think interest rates are going to go up, though?
Looking for opportunity is where I'm at. I'm not necessarily trying to make an interest rate play. You got to see it. I'm probably speaking of more from a portfolio manager,
right,
not an individual trader.
Right,
so
right.
I'll give you short-term hints and ideas. And closer to this, we could talk more about it getting closer to that Fed meeting in December, and you can start seeing how treasuries and stuff react.
I don't think they let them go up in December either. It seems to me if this current administration's any indication, they're pumping Wall Street and they're doing with an endless line of credit. And this happened with the Fed in the 20s from like 21 to 29, and it pumped the Dow Jones to an all-time high, interest rates to an all-time low. And the Fed expanded their balance sheet about five times over. And, the past 7 years seems identical to that. And,
sounds
and you're
like
right,
a listener
gold didn't respond
to the show.
Well in 29, so I don't think that's the answer either. I think Bitcoin has the highest risk, highest reward, but I really still don't know, you know?
You're right. High risk. Yeah, when there is high risk, there can be high reward. But remember, the reward is equally balanced with the ability to lose. Yeah, we can have more of this conversation. Keep listening. Call us back. Mm-hmm. We'll talk some more about it. That's kind of my idea.
Yeah, I love that topic,
point.
Man. I would love to hear more on it. Anything with interest rates, because it's a big deal right now.
So, Luke, are you sitting on some cash and you're looking to make some investment with it? Because is this a correct summary, Gregory? You don't want to make the investment now before the rate hike. You want to wait for the rate hike to happen, see who gets killed, and then go scoop them up while they're weak. Is that a good?
Well,
I'm asking Gregory.
But he's
here.
Looking more for interest rate sensitive plays, And they're,
yeah, and I'm also
they're out
more
there.
Proactive than reactionary, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, we're back live now. Hey, just a little landmark here. Some of the big bankruptcies of last year are already being overshadowed this year. The two big ones, I mean, the Sports Authority was probably the biggest bankruptcy last year. That's going away. Aeropostale, they closed 600 stores last year. But we've had bankruptcies already from Gander Mountain, Radio Shack, H.H. Gregg, BCBG, Michigan Sporting Goods, Eastern Outfitters, Wet Seal, and The Limited already this year. Well, we're going to miss you. Ain't there no more. All right, your home away from the show, GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. Our next Gregory Ricks live event will be for women only April 19th. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory
Thank you
Ricks
for
is
tuning
prohibited.
In to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand. Remember, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
Your new home for Walton and Johnson. News Talk 99.5 WRNO FM, New Orleans, and iHeart Radio Station.